Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights at the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines to call the scene, to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights at the round table, our shows are more stable. So many times we give and blind that our quiet on sing able. We're off the bad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice.
And how do you get that, eh?
By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma, which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I am Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
Well, that's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Hee hee, hee King Shazir's the Terrible. All rise for King Shazir's the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
In constant sorrow all through his days, I am a man of constant sorrow. I've seen place where I was born and raised, the place where he was born and raised. For 6 long years I've been in trouble, no pleasure here on earth I found. I'll die upon this train.
Perhaps he'll die upon this train.
You can bury me in some deep valley for many years where I may lay. I am so-
nothing happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the street singing songs and carrying signs, mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at did I get all three W's in there? Anyway, nonetheless, shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html and also check out Wolf Spirit Radio and People for People Radio Network. If you want to jump over there to People for People, it's real easy if you're on the super chat. Just scroll down there on the deal and find the People for People radio banner ad. It's a cool banner and it says what it means, People for People. Pretty cool people over there. Man, there's a lot of people in that word. Anyway, I posted a link in there, but I'm going to play a little podcast first because about the history of goldfish. Listen to this guy here.
Do you ever wonder why you can find the goldfish in so many places? Or why they're the first choice of pet for so many people? How did this relationship between the goldfish and people get started in the first place? Well, if these questions have piqued your interest to go diving into the past, then stay tuned for this episode of Thoughts from the Deep. Hi, I'm Kevin from Aquatography, and today I'll be your host for the history of the goldfish. When most people think of the goldfish, they probably envision a small orange fish swimming in circles in a round bowl. This was certainly the case for me growing in a media-rich world, bent on preserving stereotypes. The true history of the goldfish is a little more interesting than that. So let's go back in time a full millennia to the murky waters of southern China's river systems and waterways. We have arrived in China. The year is 256 AD, during the Jin Dynasty. brilliant Chinese farmers have already discovered a way to breed fish in aquaculture as a source of food. These small carp, meant to feed the masses, are about to reveal a secret of their own. Small mutations in their DNA caused vibrant colors to appear. The colors ranged from red, orange, and yellow. The farmers took notice, but it wouldn't be until the Tang Dynasty, which started in 618, for the fish to become recognized for its brilliant colors, and not just food. The Tang Dynasty saw the development of many artistic and cosmopolitan advances. Some of the first ornamental ponds were created during the Tang Dynasty, where these fish were placed and became living works of art. The most exceptional fish were placed in small bowls, as a decoration for social gatherings. This was the earliest known use of the fishbowl. Unlike today, where many see it fit to leave their fish in a bowl as a permanent enclosure, the bowls used in China were only temporary, and the fish were returned to the ponds after the social gatherings concluded. By the time of the Song Dynasty in 960, the goldfish had already made huge strides towards becoming solely an ornamental fish. In 1162, the Empress Wu declared that those who were not of royal blood be forbidden from keeping goldfish that were yellow in color. This was because yellow was the color that represented the royal family. However, even with the limitations placed by the imperial family, other mutations within breeder stocks began to produce even more colors of goldfish, which included white and even black fish. Even the shapes of the goldfish began to change. Around the 1600s, what was once a humble source of food was being shipped all across the world to places as far as Western Europe and Japan. Japan produced new varieties of their own, such as the Ryukin goldfish. Fast forwarding now back to the present, and we now have around 120 varieties of goldfish the world over, including some varieties developed right here in the United States, such as the Comet goldfish. It's worth mentioning that in China, the goldfish is still considered a status of wealth and good fortune. This might be a result of the word for wealth and the word for fish being incredibly similar, nice. Sort of like a pun.
There's one for you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Thoughts from the Deep. If you did, be sure to hit that like and subscribe button, as that like and subscribe really helps this channel to grow. Once again, I'm Kevin from Aquatography, and I'll see you on the next episode of Thoughts from the Deep.
Cool. Yeah, I bet you never realized there was so much about goldfish, huh?
I figured there would be with this ancient culture.
I'll never forget the very first time I ever laid eyes on a goldfish. Something strange happened to me that day. I just, I felt very peaceful. And so, with that said, I've been trying to raise goldfish for years. I mean, it's been at least since, I would say, around about 1999, around about 2000, somewhere around about there. I started off in one pond, and it wasn't a very deep pond. It's only like 3 or 4 feet deep, but I cleaned the land all the way around it and kind of tried to landscape it up a little bit and make it look nice and started going. I used to, at the bait shop up there, they would sell goldfish for people to go fishing with, and I thought that was terrible, so I'd go up and buy a bunch of them and then bring them home and kind of rescue them, you know, put them in my pond. And at one time, I had like 30 goldfish that were huge out there in that pond, plus a whole bunch of little ones, and it was really cool and peaceful to go out there and feed them and watch them and stuff, you know. And, then the predators started moving in. The snakes would come in, and they'd get them, and maybe some turtles would get them, and the herring, he'd come in, and he just cleaned house, basically took every goldfish I had. Herring. I don't know why I keep saying herring. It's a heron. It's the great blue heron. Those things, they will clean your fish out. anyway, it got really obnoxious. And so with that said, I posted a video down there that kind of warmed my heart about this, I guess it's a lake in Denver or something like that. They're talking about they had a goldfish invasion. And when I saw that, I just got a good old laugh out of that because, you know, I've been trying to do battle with nature to keep my goldfish for who knows how many years. Quite a long time. Anyway, they're like, there's something really peaceful about that. I go out there every single morning and I feed my goldfish. I've got three ponds out there, two of which are struggling because we've had this drought going on, and it just here recently rained and filled some of the water back in. But in the meantime, between the herons and the snakes and, you know, other predators of the goldfish, one of my ponds is pretty much cleaned out, and the other one is pretty close to being cleaned out. But nonetheless, I don't give up. I still raise them. I got one pond that is really deep, so they're not able to get those, and my fish have gotten big, and that one's pretty cool to watch because got all different kinds of colors and stuff like that. But anyway, the whole thing is that the way this world has become and all the different struggles that people find themselves in, there's some simple things in life that just kind of get overlooked that really help, at least me, I know, help me get through things. You know, there's folks out there that are struggling with PTSD and stuff from military experiences and other experiences in their life, bad things, and you know, they'll get service animals that will help to keep them calm. And, you know, it's something to be said about the animal kingdom out there, the world where people basically build bonds with their pets and stuff like that. And these pets, they know when you're feeling bad, and they know when you're sick, and they're there to comfort you and stuff. And I guess I found my peace in goldfish. And there's a whole lot of different people out there struggling with all kinds of things. There's a whole lot of people that, you know, basically when they look out there in this world, it becomes so incredibly overwhelming. And something as simple as getting up early in the morning feeding goldfish can make or break somebody's day. Does that sound crazy to you, Barbara?
Actually, it does. No, not really. I'm just teasing you. Hi, everybody. It's always so good to be here with you, Shazaz. I actually like this. The minute you posted up goldfish, feeding goldfish, I was, okay, what's with the goldfish? And, okay, so then you said, well, you have goldfish ponds and blah, 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 and so on. They came from China. And I said, you know, okay, they came from China. Okay, that means, with that ancient civilization, goldfish mean more than you think they mean. There's something always in that culture, which is an ancient culture and a tribal culture, by the way, that has a relationship to nature beyond, you know, most people's knowledge or perhaps even understanding, because it's the connectedness, their world view or whatever you want to call it of the ancient cultures is the connectedness of everything and the meaning of everything in that, within that connectedness. So anyway, I went searching because you suggested it and I was about to, and there's a very interesting thread here. I did pop it in the chat. It's symbolism and spiritual significance of the goldfish, and I knew that there would be something like this because, as I said, this ancient culture in China, as all other cultures, were tribal, connected to the earth in relationship. So do you know that some of the meanings, you know, the symbolic significance in Asian cultures, the name koi, K-O-I, is Japanese, by the way. One of the things that these koi fish are known, the symbolism for their ability to climb rushing streams and waterfalls until they reach their destination. So that means they are determined fighters and they never give up.
Cool.
That's called tenacity. right?
Yeah, I've never even heard that, but that makes a lot of sense.
Well, this is significant because, like I said, everything in our environment has a significance, a meaning, okay, to the whole, for the greater whole. Of course, you know, we know the pretty typical things that people usually associate koi fish with, you know, is the abundance, well, meaning of richness and opulence and so on. But their elegant forms and radiant colors convey this richness and opulence. It's on that. So then you have luck. Koi symbolizes good fortune. Whether you cultivate the fish or display koi emblems, symbols, or even tattoos, it's believed koi can help draw positive energies to you and your family.
Well, I definitely believe that because it's almost, as wild as it might sound, it's almost like I step into a different world every time I'm near that pond with them fish, and I just, I feel at peace, and, you know, it's just something that,
yeah,
as simple as it might sound to most folks, if you're a person who's been through any kind of traumatic incident in your life, and you're probably pretty prone to you know, getting upset or even, you know, being depressed or struggling or whatever, you would be surprised at how amazing it feels to stand around and just watch these fish do what they do. It's incredible. And to know that you're kind of bonding with them when you go out there to feed them, because, you know, of course, you know, your average science guy would just say, oh, well, they're just rushing around because they got food. But, you know, I took a picture one time of a goldfish that was in a big old lake. I think it was Lake Giacomo or something like that. We were on a boat dock, and this one particular fish come up there, and he looked so incredibly sad, like, bummed me out. I threw him down some fish food, and looked like he went from sad to being happy real quick.
Well, the thing about the animals or the creatures or nature symbolize our human experience. So this is the things that I'm going to talk about here in regards to this, the goldfish or koi, is about us, is about human nature. So we're talking about tenacity, we're talking about, you know, the various symbols, positive energies, bringing positive energies, and we talk about courage. So it speaks here to the courage of these koi. They are known for being very courageous. They face challenges head on without backing away, and this allows them to overcome obstacles and also to achieve. So this would be, again, something as a teaching for us, for humans, right?
Yeah.
And it talks about family strength. Koi, the Japanese honor the koi for their positive qualities in connection with family strength and development. The colors represent each family member, and they are emblematic of solidarity, harmony, and unity.
You know, that, the colors thing, that's pretty cool that they even said that, because you'll get to used to, there's so many different, you can pick them out of the pond. I mean, there's one out there that I really love. It's a really big white and gold one, and it's like they got their own, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, like every time you got a pet, and they got their own kind of attitude or whatever.
That's
what I was trying to find.
What is it?
They have their own personality.
Their own personality. Well, I like this about the colors, the different colors and how significant they are in this understanding of the ancient cultures, because, of course, we talk about the different colors of nations, black, red, yellow, white, and now brown, and how important it is to recognize that this all represents one family. So, you know, the family of the koi, even though there are different colors, it represents the solidarity, harmony, and unity. Right?
Yeah.
Well. So now, also, did you say, I want to say something?
No, go ahead.
So now you have the family strength. You have the courage, you have the luck, wealth and abundance, and tenacity, and now you have transformation. A legend from ancient China tells how Koi, that succeeded in climbing the Yellow River Falls near Dragon Gate, became dragons.
Wow.
In this way, Koi symbolizes evolution, growth, and transformation.
And wisdom. That's what I used to get from the dragons. Is one of the things that they said about dragons was wisdom.
That's right. So, a koi pond on one's property can improve the flow of positive energy and serenity. Koi support positive, what they call feng shui, which is also an ancient symbolized from these ancient cultures, from the Asian people. Feng shui, which is a balancing of things and harmonizing things and the placement. So it's an auspicious, optimal flow of universal life force energy for all who live and visit there, so that in your, at your home or where the ponds are placed and so on, it's significant about that placement. It's optimal flow of universal life force energy for all who live there and all who visit.
It's peaceful.
Right.
It's incredibly peaceful, and it's crazy as it sounds, these fish seem to keep that pond really clean, you know. I know they're from the carp family, and I know they eat a lot of different types of, you know, like what we mentioned in duckweed and stuff like that. They eat that as well, so when you get them good and settled in, they'll keep your pond really nice and clean.
Well, so we're talking about the universal life force, which is a very key part of our discussions on the shows, by the way.
Yep.
There is a universal life force, and we want the optimal flow of this universal life force. It's an energy or frequency. And it depends on, of course, in this particular, talking about the koi pond, for instance, and the koi fish, it's the actual placement of this that creates a universal life force energy, a flow, optimal flow. And so, I mean, how could we equate that with our own selves and in our own lives? How would we create or manifest an optimal flow of this universal life force instead of you know, blocking it or unknowingly, you know?
I don't know, but I liked what you said earlier about unity, because, you know, I go out there and I give the fish something every morning. I give them fish food, you know, and they give me peace, and it's kind of like a
reciprocity.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I feed you.
I feed you. I give you life, and you give me joy.
Yeah.
You're feeding them food, but we feed each other all the time. Either we're feeding people the food of nourishment or love, or the food of, you know, compassion, or we feed them the opposite, right?
Yeah. And so, once again, I'm always somebody's talking about, like I did, I talked about Goliath the turtle, and he's there, by the way, him and Molly, and Pee-wee's still around, and I actually think there's a few extra ones in there, but those animals, I swear, they're smarter than you think they are, because I made a deal with those turtles a long time ago that if they leave my goldfish alone, that I would come down and bring them food.
Right.
And you know that they leave my goldfish alone?
Yeah, I do.
They really do.
I'm not surprised.
They're not
even
my goldfish. They're, you know, getting along together. So I thought that was pretty cool. It's worth mentioning anyway. But
absolutely. Well, that's the natural communication that we have with the creatures. And they listen to us, and they will communicate with us. They will receive that. You know, you're not standing there screaming at them and say, I'm going to kill you if you mess with my goldfish. You know, you're being in your heart and saying, you know, I want to make an agreement with you. You know, you can live here too, and I'll help you, but just don't take the life of the goldfish.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing, you know. And I've told people this a lot of times, but if you peaceful with nature, nature recognizes that. I was sitting down there by the pond after I fed the turtles and the goldfish in this one particular pond that I wrote the story about Goliath, and I was sitting there on my little chair down there, and this little baby deer comes walking up, and he was right straight across from the pond from me. He saw me. At first, yeah. I kind of thought I was invisible, you know, because he didn't freak out and run away, and he just kind of, you know, laid down there right there by the pond, you know, made him a little bed down there, laid down there, and he was eating some grass and stuff, and I waved at him to see what he was going to do, and he just kind of hanging out there, and he was there for at least a good half an hour to an hour. I just sat down there right straight across from him, and we're both just enjoying the environment around there, and even frogs and the turtles, the frogs, they come up there and they'd sit right alongside the shore, and the turtles would peek up at me and I'd wave at them, you know. And used to be, you go down there and everything just scattered, and I'm just incredibly amazed that I'm sitting down there and they know, they know your heart, they know you're not going to bother
them. Yes, they do. So here's another part: uniqueness and nonconformity. What the koi symbolizes: a willingness to stand out from the crowd. She says.
Yeah.
It, their determined nature embodies both creative self-expression and a fighting spirit.
Well, you know what? I needed that. I honestly did. A long time ago, the lifestyle that I led and the things that I seen in my life, I really needed that. I needed that inside me, you know, internally.
Yeah.
And
well, yeah, I think we all need this. That we need this teaching from the koi.
Yeah.
You know, right, it's like they're not afraid. It's both creative self-expression and that fighting spirit that we need, you know.
Yep.
And that tenacity to continue on no matter what, to not ever give up.
That's probably one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this particular subject up here on the Knights of the Round Table. The Knights of the Round Table always takes a life on of its own, but nonetheless, it's a good starting point because there's a lot of people out there struggling through all kinds of stuff. And I wish that anyone out there who's having a bad day or, you know, even a, you know, rough life, I wish they could come spend a day with me, you know, and just hang out and see what it is that I do during my day.
Right.
Because as simple as it all sounds, it makes a huge difference in the way that I feel the rest of the day. You know, you get up in the morning and right out of the gate, somebody's negative, something's gone wrong, or
the plumbing's
leaking, or something fell off the side of the house, or whatever, you know.
Or a tree fell on your roof.
Yeah.
I think that recently happened to Two Dog. I didn't go further into it, but I guess he had storms out there, and a tree branch just fell on the roof and said, the house looks like it's okay. I'm glad to hear that.
So I pretty much tell everybody, I said, well, if it's not a direct emergency, I'll be right back. And I can catch my breath. And I thought,
well, what comes first in the day is my tobacco down and gratitude. Gratitude. I just stand there, hold on to this beautiful cedar tree we planted that is growing monumentally beautiful, and I just give thanks to that. Well, first of all, there's the medicine of that tree. But also that tree that I'm talking to there, giving an offering in the morning of gratitude for the green nations and the medicines on the earth. So that tree connects to all the green nations. I'm speaking to that one tree, but through that tree, the branches of that tree is emanating my message. That's how this communication is. And I'll just tell you a little brief story. I went out to sit where I have my coffee in the morning in the little woodshed over there, and you know, that's where I start to think about a lot of things. And I had to sneeze, right? So it's all silent here. We have a nice little rain and so on, which we needed desperately. It's all silent around here, except for the birds, you know. And in that moment, everything seemed to quiet down, because I was talking to everything. And they're listening. And suddenly I let out this huge, loud sneeze. And simultaneously as I did that, a huge tree branch in the forest next to me fell to the ground. And I thought, wow, I have some power. And then I started thinking about that. Yeah, I thinking, okay, that sneeze knocked that tree branch, that's a power. And I'm thinking, well, Then I went into further and I said, I was doing this little poem. I said, okay, I got frustrated and the grass is bent in the field. Alright? I got angry and the leaves shimmered in the trees. I got really, really enraged and the whole trees in the forest shook right to the roots. And I got I spewed out hatred and the Mother Earth opened a crack, a fission in her and a whole house fell in. And I went on like that about the emotions that we have, the power that we have and the energies of either the kindness and love and compassion or the opposite. So I was in that mode of saying, what happens when we have frustration? What happens when we are angry? What happens when that escalates into hatred or really, really heavy stuff, and how the earth and all of creation responds and reacts? So that's what we're talking about in this moment, like with the fish, the koi fish, and what they represent, you know. In the Buddhist, also have their qualities and characteristics of the koi, and they say that the koi represents how we humans must navigate the treacherous waters of suffering, just as a koi persistently fight their way against difficult currents in life. Well, so all of the things, we are replicating nature in so many ways, and nature replicates us as well.
I honestly believe that as well. You know, I'm not nothing special as far as I'm concerned. I'm not any kind of prophet or any kind of savior or anything like that. You know, but there are coincidences that go on in my life that just kind of unexplainable. Like, every single time I'm sad, it rains outside. Quite literally, a couple days ago, we've been going through a drought down here for a long time, and
yeah.
it just wouldn't rain. And I've been in a great mood all the time, outside of, you know, your normal aggravations. But other than that, I didn't have nothing to be sad about. And so I was out there, and I was praying to God, and you know, I was talking to this. Clouds. I'm watching these big clouds up in the sky, and they just never seem to drop any doggone rain. And you know, I sat there and told, basically, I know I'm going to sound wacky, but that's all right. I'm used to that. But I was sitting here telling these clouds and God that, you know, I'm sad in my heart for these animals that their water's drying up, and I'm afraid I'm going to lose all my fish and all that kind of stuff. And I asked for it to rain. And you know, it started raining.
Yeah.
It really started raining.
Well, that's not wacky to me, because I live my life like that. That's the way of our people. Is I was sitting the other... We're having a drought here as well. And I was sitting under the mulberry tree, and the clouds were up there forming and moving. And I'm saying, I started praying, as I do, to the Waukeans, which are the thunder people, and to Great Spirit. And I was saying the same thing, how we need rain here. I said, the green people, the forest people, everything needs the rain. The gardens need the rain. And I was praying in the way I do, like you. And don't you know, the thunder started talking, the thunder beings, and that rain started coming right down in the moment.
Well,
you know,
it put just enough rain in that water to at least buy my fish and the animals some time until the next rain came by. And slowly but surely, the ponds are filling back up. But, you know, some folks, you know, with a closed mind might just call it a coincidence. That's fine, you know.
They can do that if they want, but if you have these experiences over and over again, and it's taught to you by your elders, I mean, you didn't have that, but that's in your heart.
Yeah.
You see, but people will call it coincidence, and that's fine, but, you know, here's the difference in people's nature. I'm going to use the word, is, so the people have an idea, they want to have a play baseball or have an outing or a picnic or a beer fest or whatever, and the clouds are rolling up there, forming, and everybody's screaming, no, don't let it rain! No, we don't want rain! Because they want to have their beer bash, but meanwhile the ground is thirsty, the ponds are drying up, and the creatures are needing water desperately.
Yep.
And they don't care. They're just, no, we want to have our beer fest, you know. Don't rain. Oh, no, don't let it rain. No, I hate it when it rains. It spoils my day.
Well, I tell you what, whether it rains or whether it snows, if I want to enjoy my day, I'm going to do it. It's as simple as that, because I can throw a snowball just like I can jump around and play in the rain. So,
well, I think it's a disconnect that people have. It's selfish.
Yeah.
I think people are not connected. They don't care. They don't see the ponds drying up. They don't see the creatures struggling. They don't see the earth is dry and cracked. They don't see it. They just want, they're in their own space, preoccupied with what will give them what they want. Only them, me, what I need. And this is the difference between the nature of the ancient people and the awareness of our connectedness and how we impact everything. You know, either positively or negatively. You know, so that's that disconnect from nature, and our relationship is quite severe.
I see that as well, and as When I was asking pretty much for myself, you know, that I wanted it to rain because obviously I want my pond and my land to look beautiful and stuff like that, it didn't rain. But whenever I put myself aside and I said, look, I'm not asking for me. You know, I said, I'm sad in my heart for, you know, these animals, that these turtles and fish, and I'm afraid I'm gonna lose them. And, you know, it started to rain. And whether people want to call it coincidence or not, I don't, you know, it doesn't bother me none. To me, it was a spiritual connection that I actually felt with our Creator and nature itself, because it didn't take no time whatsoever. When I put myself out of the picture and I was asking not for myself, but out of my heart for something else, then that's when I got what I asked for.
Well, I'm going to say something here. In the way that is very important to never apologize for your connectedness to Creator and nature. Never make excuses or defend what you know in your heart to be true by saying, people can say I'm this, or people can doubt, or people... I mean, that's going to happen, but don't ever feel you have to explain this miracle, because it is this connectedness from your heart spirit to what you know to be true.
Yep.
And the results that you are shown to me are miracles of your love and your communication and your faith and your power that you have, you see. So I'm just saying, I say sometimes to people, you take what I say, listen, open your heart and listen, and take what I say, whatever sings to your heart spirit.
Yeah.
And that's everyone's right to do that. But I would never say, you might think I'm crazy, or, well, I do that jokingly.
What's
but
this?
I don't, I'm not there.
It's this world's indoctrination that we've been we've had put upon us, you know, since the day we come into this world, where we have to conform.
Yes, is to doubt your true nature.
Which was another thing I liked about what you was talking about, the goldfish and the non-conforming kind of thing, you know, all these different colors and every individual, whatever, you know, even individuals are unified.
I think that's part of the training and the brainwashing is to, even though we have it in us and you express it and then you get the miracle, you still find yourself saying, people might think I'm crazy, or they might think this was just a coincidence, you know, but so I speak that way because for the people. I don't speak that way because I fear or that I have any doubt. Because the nature of people is that they will question which is okay. You know, doubt and resistance is another story altogether. But I guess what I'm saying is I came to the realization that I'm speaking about my experiences, my personal experiences, and nobody can take that away from me. You can doubt it if you like, but I'm sharing with you, and it's up to you what you determine to do with it. But I'm not going to make excuses. I'm not going to, you know, try to, I guess, convince anybody. I'm sharing the miracles, and I am not going to stand in that position and say, well, you might think I'm crazy, or, you know, you might think I'm weird, or because there's something inside of me that is afraid of that or might believe that on some level.
Yep.
So I'm just saying that. But I want to continue here with these teachings, the teachings from this, from the koi fish. Now remember, these are ancient teachings, okay? And how the koi fish had been, I guess you could say, observed and studied and listened to by the ancient people to bring this information to us today. And the people have abided by these teachings of the koi fish and insights and so on. So here's another one. So the bodhisattva, the being, you know, you could say the creator, the mission of us, the people, is to remain focused on the goal of enlightenment despite turbulent waters. The touchstone of Buddha nature is always there, and koi inspire us to, in their ability to stay focused and succeed with grace and style.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Right? And yep. So the koi fish embody a quiet beauty and mystery that both peaceful and intriguing. So let's let the koi fish serve as an inspiration to us, you know, for cultivating their many positive qualities in ourselves, because the teachings of the creatures is extraordinary, and every creature in nature has a teaching for us to benefit us and to guide us along and basically to help us in the turbulent times or the like we say, the prophecy says there's a raging river right now. And that's a metaphor for the insanity that we're seeing.
Oh, yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I keep, you know, kind of putting myself on the line, even though that I know that society's been indoctrinated to, you know, look past their own spirituality and, you know, basically science is king or whatever, but, you know, there's something to be said if for somebody to be able to experience, and that's the key word right there. It's when you actually experience something with nature, you know, it's going to be a life-altering time for you. I used to tell a story all the time about this red-tailed hawk that everywhere I went, I knew that hawk, I knew the markings on that hawk, and it was as if that doggone hawk was following me around everywhere I went, and, you know, it would fly in front of me at certain times, and whether you want to call it coincidence or not, if I saw that hawk, I slowed my vehicle down, and doggone it, there would be a deer run across the road, or there would be some knucklehead that's across the yellow line or whatever, and it in my mind, that hawk was keeping an eye out for me through my journeys through life. And I seen that hawk for so many years, and then there was a point in time where I didn't see the hawk anymore. And I just thought, well, maybe that just went, decided up and go away, you know. Well, around another time in my life, that hawk showed up again, and it did the same exact thing. It was always there at the right time, at the right place. I was driving down the road, coming back from my father-in-law's house, and this bird flew down right in front of my car, quite literally right in front of my car, and I slowed my car down drastically because I thought that I was going to hit this bird. And just a second later, over the crest of the hill, came a car in my lane.
Oh, my goodness.
And had I not slowed down for that bird, I would have hit that car head on. And I don't know what the driver was doing at the time, but I told my wife, I said, that bird quite literally saved my life, because I wouldn't have hit that car head on. The timing would have been perfect. I would have been right there at the crest of that hill when that car come over the top of that hill.
Right.
And, you know, call it what you want. I call it a miracle. I honestly...
There you go again.
Well,
It's hard
to shake that demon of indoctrination off of you after you spent... I'm 52 years old, and I've been told, you know, that basically, you know, spiritual things, people don't like, the idea of a God or whatever. You know, they think science is king, and, you know, we have all evolved from monkeys or whatever. That kind of craziness, but it's what have been pounded in my head throughout my entire life. And you really got to be careful about who you tell what, because they look at you cross-eyed like you're crazy. And why should we as humans even care what somebody else thinks? If we experience it, we know it for ourselves in our heart that this is something that's really happening to me, then, you know, that's my truth. And I'm not afraid to share it, but that's the same sense.
I'm not going to feed the doubt, feed the negative bite after I speak about a miracle. I'm not going to throw out there to the public and say, well, you can think what you want, or you can think I'm crazy, or that you can... I'm not going to throw that energy, because I basically, what that does is it just usurps the beautiful miracle that you shared.
Yep.
So I'm just saying that because I came a long time ago to realize that the many experiences in my life, the phenomenon, the extraordinary phenomenon and miracles that I have experienced in my life regarding nature and spirit and so on and creator, if I sat down, because, you know, I got the training too, don't talk about this, don't share this, because people will think you are crazy and people will turn around and run away from you. I mean, I've had that happen, both things happen. But basically, that's the training that everybody's gotten. This is too weird. This is too kooky. This is impossible. And so on. So I kept a lot of these things quiet to myself because of that negative, you know, beliefs of people, indoctrinated into people. And I was in the mix of the indoctrination as well, keeping myself quiet. Due to the fear of the ambush from the rest of the, you know, people about what I know to be true. Really? Now, if I keep saying, I know this to be true, this happened to me, I know this to be true, I want to share it with you, you know, it's basically you can discern what you want from these words, but I will not defend it. I will not throw negative energy upon what I've just shared with you. I learned in my life that my experiences in other people's eyes would be so impossible, right?
Yeah.
That they could not believe it because they lost their connection to the mystery and the miracle. Okay, that was taken from them. So I learned very early on to be quiet, as I said, but later on in life I was asked by Creator to share these miracles and these phenomenon, that to the general public mostly would seem impossible or outrageous or just a fantasy. I was asked to share these things to touch people, touch others who have had similar experiences, who are terrified to share them, to show people that, no, you're not crazy, and I'm not crazy. This is real.
I was getting ready to say something similar to what you just mentioned. That blows my mind.
Well, that happens to us.
Back in the day when I first started listening to you and Two Dog and Patty talk, you guys helped me break through that fence to where I was, you know, more apt to talk about things like what, you know, we're talking about now that before I probably wouldn't have even mentioned. But that actually, between you and Patty and Two Dog and the conversations that we had back in the day, that actually inspired me to go ahead and write that story.
Yep.
And put it out there for everybody. And I think it not only did it benefit me, I believe it honestly benefited other people out there as well.
It did. And so I was told, my goodness, I was told 30 years ago or so to start writing my story. My spirit told me, you have to start writing this story. And so I was advised to kill my TV. Don't watch any TV, don't paint anymore, don't read any books, just do the writing. For 8 years, I did that. So my first book was about the phenomenon and the extraordinary things and the miracles and the prophecies that I've been given, you know, about mending the sacred hoop and where we are today, the prophecies and so on, and the breaking up and shattering of the dominator patriarchy rule in all systems, and we are there now. We are there with the mending of the hoop, which is the Rainbow Warriors prophecy and unity. So I was told so long ago to write the story, and I have to say, I was literally terrified because of that training that no, you don't tell these stories. No, you don't talk about these things. You don't share the phenomenon, you know, when a spirit comes before you and speaks to you. You don't share that. You don't share these phenomenon of connectedness and relationship that we have to the beings, to the elementals, to Creator, Great Spirit, and all the helpers. You don't share that stuff, you know, but I was forced to do it. I was told to do it, and I did it. So that was my first book. But I came to realize, Shaziz, that when people come and sit with me, and just like you here, You and I are sitting here talking about our real deep personal things and feelings and experiences. I came to realize that no matter who it is and what they are saying to me about a miracle or a phenomenon or an unexplained circumstance that happened to them, nowhere inside myself do I doubt what they are saying, because I have had my own unexplained, extraordinary phenomenon, miracles, whatever. How could I say to someone else that that's impossible?
I feel that same way. I still find myself, and thankfully I got you to remind me not to be doubting myself and, you know, putting that doubt out there with the, you know, a good, what I believe to be a miracle. You know,
well,
it's this indoctrination that the world has been under for so long.
That's the piece right there.
That's why people were miserable.
Exactly. Well, because you had a bird, a winged one, save your life.
Yep.
And so if another person were in your position, okay, they wouldn't even have got that piece. You know, they wouldn't have linked that together, as there was a spiritual miracle there, a communication, and that a winged one was sent by Creator to slow you down. I've had those experiences myself.
If I hadn't slowed down,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be here right now. I know that for a fact, because the timing of how fast that guy was going and how fast that I was going, I would hit him head on, and might have took us both down, you know.
Right.
And possibly the bird as well.
Look, there are so many stories of other people similar to what you shared. I mean, around 9/11, there are so many stories about people that something happened that slowed them down or prevented them from going that day to those towers. So many stories. I mean, some guy, I'm trying to remember the stories, and one in particular, I think, had to do with a belt. A guy needed the belt for his pants, and he went out of the house in a rush, and blah, blah, blah. Turned around, because he said, oh, I don't have my belt on, I need the belt. Foolish thing, you'd say, well, that's ridiculous, but no. In this man's experience, he needed the belt for his pants. And he went back. He went back, and that delayed him from getting to the whatever he needed, the subway, the bus, I don't know what it was. Something strange. And he, therefore, he wasn't in his office when that happened. So many stories like this, and you could say, well, that's just a coincidence. You could say whatever you want. And people will doubt it, because that's the indoctrination, you see. This is what we're talking about. We are sharing the reality of our experience here on this Mother Earth in relationship to everything that has been created, the powerful relationship, if we open our heart to it, if we open the gates. But we have been locked behind the gates deliberately from our true nature, from our connectedness and relationship to this creation. And that's how I see it. So in writing the book, I exposed myself to ridicule. And that's what I was fearing, of course. I learned that very young. Don't talk about this. You will be ridiculed. You will be made fun of, you know, blah, blah, blah. So when Spirit told me, Creator told me, you have to write the stories here to help other people to see. Now, this is for the people, not all people. My story, all that Creator gave me, and the phenomenon, the miraculous things that happened to me in my life that brought me here to you in this moment in time, and all the listeners, thank you for all being here, by the way, brought me here to this moment in time. That's what this story is for, those who have something inside their heart they need to speak about and they need to share, but they're terrified to do it, terrified of being ridiculed. Now, I knew I was going to be ridiculed, but I was really in my heart with Creator. I knew that this had to be told. The stories have to be, our stories have to be told. That's why they happen to us. Because when we tell a story, if I touch one person who's hesitant to speak about their miracle, their story, I'm not, what am I doing here? Yeah. Who am I in service to then? I'm in service to the manipulators, to the ones who are basically working to prevent us from this ancient wisdom and this amazing, beautiful experience here on Earth.
Well, my advice to anybody out there listening in, if you ever hear anything in your mind or your heart, listen, pay attention. You might just be surprised of what goes on. And see, that's the reason why I say all the time that people step over small miracles all day long, every day, and don't even realize what's going on.
They ignore it, or they doubt it. They doubt themselves. They doubt their connectedness. They doubt their nature, their true nature, because that's part of the manipulation, is to doubt what you know inside yourself as true. And I was attacked. I have been, basically, for speaking my truth. And you know what? As a child, it's a difficult thing, but I'm no longer a child, and my faith and the power that I have within me to know these things are true for everyone, not just me, that it doesn't bother me that people have, ridiculed me or attacked. That doesn't bother me. If somebody is that lost in their own self that they must ridicule another person for speaking their truth, that's their issue. It is not my issue. I will not accept it, and I will not defend what I know to be true through my Creator, Great Spirit.
Yep.
And all those beings that have helped me, have taught me things, like Goliath taught you, and the koi fish are now teaching you. You know, so, and other things. I've had miraculous things with animals that, you know, like you. I'm not defending my experience. I will not. I refuse, because then I am turning my back on what I know to be true.
Well, I want to say that one of these things that these goldfish taught me, and one of the things that I get from this radio show, is I know there's a lot of things going on out there in this world, and I like to share, you know, knowledge and information with everybody, but it brings me peace. It's almost like whenever I go out and feed the goldfish is the same feeling I get when I'm out here, you know, feeding people information that, I think that could help them out and try to make the world a better place. So, to me, these shows that we do, sometimes I know I get a little riled up, and especially on the Mad Science Show, but it brings me some peace because I actually I used something that I feel like was a gift in my mind, whether it be my mechanical way of looking at things and explaining mad science, or this way of words that I can sit there and talk to people and basically talk them through problems that they got going on and hopefully benefit them in that way to, you know, throw these positive pebbles out there in the pond. And so it gives me peace to get on this radio show and to reach out to all my brothers and sisters around the world and try to share with them my experiences and hopes that, you know, like what you and Patty and Two Dog did for me was to allow me to break through that fence that was holding me back from sharing what I believe in my heart to be true miracles, things that would make it so that I believe that I actually have hope in my life. I know that as bad as things might appear, there's always beauty no matter where you look. One of the stories that you told one time that really set that in stone for me was that you saw a fire coming through a crack of a piece of concrete or something like that, and that shows that no matter what, nature overcomes, and there ain't no reason why you can't, because you're part of nature. And if you just open your heart to possibilities in your life, and you take in, instead of ignoring the miracles or hiding them or burying them, you share them with everybody that you come in contact with, something as simple as a smile. It'd be wonderful just to follow that smile from your face to somebody else's face, just to see how far it traveled, so that you could know how powerful you really are. And the fact that, I've said is, I can stand not more than 5 feet away from a bunny rabbit out here. Most generally, before, I started paying attention to, what was going on around me, every time I come out there, those animals, they feared me. They ran. I mean, they didn't know what to expect from me. But over the time of me staying consistent, I wave at them. I talk to them. And I wander around. I feed the fish. And they're watching. They are watching intently at what's going on around them, what you're doing. And they get to know you. There's an actual place. It's Longview Lake. You go down there, and they have been, these deer have been down there for so long that they aren't afraid of people.
Yeah. There's a place around here. It's a healing spiritual center where a lot of people come to do teachings and help people and so on. And the animals on that land, deer, squirrels, rabbits, whatever you want to, they're just sitting around with the people.
Yeah, they're not afraid.
They're not afraid. They're not afraid. And, I'll never forget reading Lewis and Clark's diaries. If everybody should read these. It's very fascinating. The Lewis and Clark, the great explorers and usurpers of the freedom of the people But anyway, it's part of our history. But one thing that struck me was, first of all, the tenacity that these people had, the journey that they had to endure, what they had to do. The doctrine of discovery, it's called, we laugh at the discovery, the Columbus discovered America. Well, Columbus did not, but anyway, there were millions of people here on Turtle Island. They were already living here in harmony and balance and following the way of the Creator's law of one, as stewards of the earth. And then come along the ones who already lost their connectedness from Europe. They already, centuries prior, had lost their tribal connectedness, their mother tongue, and the connectedness to nature and the earth and the stars and the cosmos, and the wisdoms that the ancestors left them. So they came here looking for freedom and for land and for whatevers, and were told that if there's not a Christian here on this land, then you own it, and if there's anybody who looks like a strange whatever person wearing furs or skins and painted up, then they're heathens and devil worshippers, and you can take them out because that's your prerogative, that's the manifest destiny. But so when Lewis and Clark came upon the lands, the Mandan people were the first ones that they met as tribals, and they told a story in the diaries, Lewis and Clark's diaries, about how the animals, huge animals, buffalo, elk, and deer and whatever else was there on the prairies, they could just walk among these animals when they first arrived. There was no fear. The herds didn't run off like, you know, crazy, or, but they started to shoot the animals for food, and everything changed. The animals scattered whenever they saw these, you know, two-leggeds, we call them two-leggeds, of different color, white, came, and the animals now were terrified, because in the way of the people, the Mandan people and the indigenous people who live there, yes, they took a life of an animal for the food to feed the people, but they did it in a ceremony. They communicated with the spirit of the animals, asked for one to give its life, and that was a ceremony, and they prayed to Great Spirit for that, for one of the animals to come and to give its life for them. And they put down an offering, which be a sacred tobacco or corn. And the animals would show itself. Wow. And it happened over and over and over again. In a herd of buffalo, one of the buffalo would leave the herd and come close to the native man who wanted to take its life, who prayed already, and give its life. But the white people just came and slaughtered the thousands and thousands and thousands of buffalo just for fun. So the animals, in Lewis and Clark's first experience, they were like the first European people in that territory, and the animals now learned to fear the two-legged. Wow. This was another breed of human, well, if you want to call them human, I don't know, I think they were disconnected from their humanity, their mother, you know, the way of the original people, we could say. So the animals do know. The animals know if you have a peaceful energy, a loving energy frequency. They know. They get it.
Do you ever think that people, kind of like how animals sense each other, and they've gotten to the point where they pretty much are raised to fear one another throughout their entire lives?
Say that again?
Well, it's like nowadays everybody's paranoid. They won't pick up a hitchhiker. They won't, they won't go stop and help out a homeless person because they've been told for so long that these people are going to harm them, and everything that they've been told basically takes them away from their true nature of love. That if, you know, when I was growing up, you saw somebody walking down the road and it was hot or raining outside, you'd pull over and ask them if they need a ride. Sometimes they'd say, no, I'm good, you know, but other times they would be thankful that you gave them a ride, and they weren't trying to hurt you or nothing like that, but you did that out of love, and they reciprocated. You know, they cared for you because you actually took the time to use kindness and help them out. And, you know, the homeless people as well, you know. My daughter, she, one day we were driving down the road, and there was this man sitting out there, and he had a sign, and his little dog was sitting out there with him. And it was laid on my heart to just stop and give this man some money. And, of course, I thought I was going to get in trouble with my wife because I gave the man $20, and, you know, we were pretty tight on money and stuff like that. But I asked my daughter, I said, if I pull over here, would you run back and give this man some money so that he can get him some food and him and his dog can get out of the heat? And she did. And the look on this man's face when my daughter handed him that $20 bill, it was like he just saw an angel, and he looked down at his little dog and he says, we can go home now, we got food. And doggone it, I hate it when that happens. But anyway, I went and I gave the news to my wife about that, and you know, she got tears in her eyes, and she said, you know, that's why I love you.
Yeah. Well, I think that I think the world has changed in so many ways, you know. I think in our earlier times, we were smaller communities, we were more in connectedness to each other, there were no cell phones, there were no TVs, there were no computers, and so, you know, in our community, we knew everyone in the community, you know, everybody down the hill, everybody around the corner, we knew them. Yeah. We helped each other. We were aware and connected to what was going on, you know. And you have, of course, you have the indoctrination of fear, which is one of the significant things that we must realize. Fear. Fear separates us. Fear of each other. Fear of this. Fear of the unseen. Fear of the unknown. Whatever it is, there's lurking around the corner is the monster. The terrorists are about to come here. How long have we heard this? Well, you know, some of them are coming here, for sure, and things have changed in our world. We're now indoctrinated through mainstream media about the terror rising, the fear, the insanity, the chaos. You know, we see it, and people are in almost like hovering in their little house, their shell of a house, their cubicle, in terror to reach out, to look at anybody. You know, I used to travel years ago to Mexico frequently, and it was a whole other experience. You'd go into strange little villages, you'd never been there before. You'd be walking down the street, and all kinds of people would be saying, Buenos dias, you know, or Buenas tardes, you know, good afternoon, good morning, smiling at you. That was like a stunner. And so I got used to that, and being there for, you know, weeks or months, and that connectedness, you know, you'd be standing in on the street or with a bunch of people or in a market, and people would be talking to you, communicating with you, opening their self, you know, reaching to you, smiling. And so when I came back to the States, I'm still in that mode. I'm in that, hey everybody, good morning, good morning. I'm in that mode of these are people. These are my people. I'm one of them. You know, we're in relationship here on this Mother Earth, you know? And then I would be smiling or say good morning, as you do in the little towns in Mexico. You don't know these people. You may know, you'll never see them again, but they identify and recognize you as another human being on the Mother. You're just like me. I'm no different. And people would look at me or just ignore me or turn away, or I learned very quickly, oops, this is already a tainted culture here. I came from it.
Yeah.
And growing up in the growing, I was born in 42, so things were very different then, you know, completely different then, in the communities.
I got to experience that when I got to visit Japan back in 1984. It was like going into a completely different world. Those people over there were so nice to me. You know, very rarely did I have any of them give me any trouble whatsoever. And when I went over there, if you go back in time and you think about World War II and all the atrocities that happened during that time around, and all the war and craziness that was you know, involved in that, and even to the extent of how people used to portray Japanese people, you know, and the little nasty words that they'd call them or whatever. And so I felt really apprehensive when I very first went over, thinking, well, these people must really hate us after World War II, you know, and, you know, between what happened at Hiroshima and Nagasaki and all that kind of stuff. And it was nothing like that. When I stepped out there into Japan and I walked among the people out there, they treated me as if I belonged there, you know, and it was so amazing. And their culture, I got to experience, you know, differences in their cultures between mine, and it was a wonderful thing. But the perception of what I was taught and things that I'd heard all my life, I went there with a preconceived notion that these folks don't like us, you know.
Yeah. And well, you know, the book or the movie The Ugly American, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that started to be a big wave of the attitude, the arrogance that displayed itself by the ugly American, the tourists in these other countries, you know. And I guess in my own self, I'm very curious about people, especially people of other cultures, and I have this inside of me, you know, I'd like to get to know you. You know, so I took it upon myself to just, whenever I went out to the stores or whatever, I just have a smile on my face, and if somebody met my eye or I met them, I'd give them a big smile. And because I think we have been indoctrinated to fear each other, to separate ourselves from each other deliberately. And this is where we're in big trouble today. You know, if someone has a snarky attitude toward me, I still love that person. I may not want to hang out with them, but I still have a love in my heart, you know, and we all have our differences of opinions. This person that I met recently, a lovely lady, okay, who was at a spiritual ceremony, okay, and praying for help with her hate. help with her anger and her hatred. Okay, now this woman spoke out in this group around the fire, because we were all there to pray and to change something about ourselves that wasn't in a flow of harmony and peace. And she spoke out about she needed help to eliminate and be free from her hatred and her anger. And I have to tell you, it's quite remarkable, because of what she was speaking about was the President Trump. She was on fire about, you know, in her rage about President Trump. And I met her, and like I said, she was very sincere and very troubled by what she realized was overtaking her. So, okay, then I left and someone, and I found, so she wanted me to Facebook, friend her, whatever, so we could be connected on Facebook. So there she starts posting things on Facebook that are so vile, I mean literally vile, that were like, wow, to me, I was like, holy mackerel, this is disgusting. Recently there's been some really revolting, vile pictures, cartoons, or pictures that are what do you call it when you manipulate a picture?
Memes?
Well, not a meme. It's like you manipulate the picture.
Oh,
photo-opped. Photo-opped pictures of Putin and Trump. And I have to say that it has reached a level, I thought it couldn't ever reach a level as a low, deep sewer, cesspool level, but it has, and people are posting these things that are so disgusting and revolting to me, just out of pure hate.
There's good news in that.
Huh?
There's good news in that. Have you heard about the walk away deal?
Oh yeah, but that's a different piece here. I'm talking about the level that people are going to spew out what mainstream media, and this is mainstream media. There are people who are cartoonists, and there are people who have the ability to mess with to Photoshop a photograph of two presidents in the world.
Yeah.
And the vileness of what they're intimating, if you get what I mean,
yeah,
is so disgusting to me, based on just pure hatred. No proof, of course, no proof of nothing that these two men slept together and are whatever they're doing to each other. Yeah. But this is what's being intimated. And I just popped in a little message. I said, this is not amusing. You know, simple. I said, this is not amusing. Well, now I'm attacked by, don't I have a sense of humor? And this is just a joke. And then I was told I must be blind to the truth. All right. Because I have a different perspective about what's going on in the world. There's a reason that majority of people don't really know about why Trump really met with Putin, had to meet with Putin, and that's going to come out. But I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about this level of vile hatred down to the level of the cesspool that good people, spiritual people, and this woman came there and prayed, asking for help with her hatred about President Trump, and she proceeds to turn around and continue to post stuff that is will just shock you. And I said, I basically wound up saying to her, because I have a different perspective on things, does not mean that I'm blind to the truth. You have your perspective, which is your right. I have my perspective, which is my right. If you're on this venue, whether it's here on our chat room or whether it's on Facebook, if you are on this venue, you know that when you post something or speak about something, there's going to be a person who has an opposite opinion. That's their right. Yeah. But to attack someone, to violate someone's right to free speech and their perspective, this is where we've gone to. So I said to her, we are sisters, aren't we? I said, we're mothers and grandmothers, aren't we? I said, we want peace in the world, don't we? I said, and we want the health and well-being for our children, all children, right? And I said, we're not going to get there if you are attacking me because I have a different perspective. I'm not attacking you, I said to her. Have I said anything nasty about you? You will not find me doing that, but I do have the right to express my perspective. You know? And yep. This is, so I didn't dump on her. I didn't get angry at her. I didn't violate her right. I didn't attack her on public forum. I basically said, you know, we're two women here. We're mothers, we're sisters, we're aunties, we're grandmothers. We want the children to be safe, and we want clean water, and we want peace. And I said, you know what? It's not going to matter who is the president if we can't come together in unity and be kind to each other and find some solutions together rather than screaming at each other and posting the most vile, rude photographs of two presidents because the mainstream media and the deep state and certain other peoples have an agenda and it's being messed with and it's not going to happen.
Well, what I was saying about the good news thing is at least from what I can see right now, at least 32,453 people have kind of woken up to that side of the fence with all the hatred and all the kind of craziness going on, and they formed that walk away
movement. I got that piece, and here's the other side of it, which is the way. Okay, when you have had dominion and your claws in the system for centuries, and you are the controller, the manipulator, the elite cabal rulers, and people start to awaken, there's a panic and a fear and a ramping up of the program that they are pushing and have been pushing, the brainwashing system, the mainstream media that is controlled, by the way, by only 200 and so on person biased people, and there's a 4 a.m. wake-up call to all the journalists on mainstream media, CNN, ABC, and all those, that basically this is what you're going to speak about today, this is what you're not going to speak about, this is what we want you to say, how we want you to broadcast this, and the bias and the manipulation is pretty stunning. So it's no longer journalism, like, you know, a journalist isn't really exploring and searching for truths. They're just basically told what to do at 4 a.m. in the morning. And you can go to the Mockingbird Syndrome, and you can see what I'm talking about. So what I'm saying here is the level of vitriol and nastiness that people are stepping into is serious, quite serious and disturbing to me, because, and now, so I'm just saying, here's this woman who's asking and praying to remove the hatred and anger she has about President Trump that she's being fed, by the way. What is her basis upon? She's basing this upon what she sees in the mainstream media. That's what all the people are doing. So, and she's praying for this and turns around and completely continues and then attacks me for saying that I don't appreciate, this is not humorous to me. This is disturbing to me, what they're putting out. Yeah. So I'm just saying.
Well, I'm adding Patty in there. I saw her come online. I hope she's ready.
Great. Hey, sis.
Anyway, I threw a message down here in the chat room for you there in Skype.
You did?
Yeah. I didn't know if you saw it yet. But, oh, yeah, it's just, some of the nasty things that people say to each other, and between that and the indoctrination of, you know, being fearful of speaking about your, you know, spiritual beliefs or, you know, miracles and stuff like that, it makes it hard for people, your average Joe or Jane or whatever, to be able to, you know, express themselves the way they are in life, you know, be... at least be everything they can be, if that makes any sense. That's why, you know, this thing about feeding the goldfish, I find peace in that, you know, and I also find peace in doing what we do here, because it seems like if we can affect one person, just one person, for a positive way, then that makes each one of these shows worthwhile. You see what I'm trying to say here?
I do. And so Patty got knocked off?
I don't know. Maybe she wasn't ready yet. So, but she's still.
So yeah. Up. So I had an experience. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. I had an experience also a long while ago with what we call the winged one. It was a red-tailed hawk, actually, and I happened to be in a frame of mind that was really down. I mean, I was really down. I was really depressed, and I felt like in one of those places where you get to where you say, I can't see a light here. I don't think I can go on. You know, you're in one of those places, right? Which often happens various times. And I'm riding on the road. I'm riding back home. I'm driving on a back road, and I'm in this frame of mind of really, really dark and down. And suddenly, this red-tailed hawk comes from behind my car, obviously, because he sweeps down right in front of the window. I'm driving, so in the front window. So now I'm seeing this red-tailed hawk floating right along with me. I kind of like slowed down because I thought, well, I was going to hit this red-tailed hawk. I slowed down, and he's just holding this pattern there, just floating in front of me. But I felt this shift overtake me, overwhelm me, of such gratitude and joy. I mean, I was completely lifted up with such a joyous experience. I mean, I saw every feather on that red-tailed hawk, the beautiful redness, rusty red of its tail, the spread of its wings, every feather, just everything slowed down. You know, when something in nature shows itself to you, or there's a miraculous experience going on, things seem to slow way down. It's very interesting. It's almost like you enter into a different parallel experience, or a frequency, or something shifts in your vision, your visual experience, and your physical experience, but also my spirit was so uplifted. I felt joy, and I realized, wow. And then the hawk flew on, but stayed with me for a few minutes, and then it lifted off. But in that moment, I realized I was being touched. I was being given something. I was being given a teaching here that, wait, there's beauty in this world. There's so much more in this world than what you're focusing on right now. It's just really mundane, and it's going to pass. You're going to go through it. You're going to move through it. You're going to go through it, and then you're going to move through it. You're going to be on the other side of it. And so that moment, I was uplifted and out of that dark place of feeling hopeless. I just completely was lifted right out of it by that experience with that winged one, that red tail. Yeah, so I just wanted to share that because of the way things happen. Like, I call that a miracle. To me, that's a miracle.
To me, it's a miracle as well. You know, I love hearing stories like that. You know, I love hearing stories where you actually see, you know, people go out there and put their lives in danger to rescue animals from, you know, falling through the ice, or even vice versa, animals rescuing people. Man, I'll tell you what, there's so many miracles in this world that people just seem to overlook. You know, I get it. This whole process of trying to throw positive pebbles out there and make the world a better place, you know, a little bit at a time, it seems overwhelming, and I've even been told it's impossible. You know, everything's just too far gone, and that kind of, I don't believe that. I don't believe that as long as we are still, as long as we're here, until it's over, it ain't over. And if there's a possibility that we can turn this around and, you know, send society into a better direction, you know, and back towards being able to work in harmony with nature. That's why I keep saying I wish that people could see through, you know, our eyes at one time. Just one time. Just see, just spend a day through our eyes, or, you know, come out there and actually be able to walk around and see what it is that we do and things we experience. If they could experience that for one time, or even in their own life when they see something, recognize it to the extent when you see something amazing that an animal does, or that somebody, some kindness that somebody does for you, that you recognize that as the true miracle that it really is, because, you know, this world, it needs all the positivity it can get, and, you know, I don't know what else to say.
I just wanted to revisit this walkaway movement, because I saw this young man on, was interviewed by Tracy Beans, who I really respect in a lot of ways of her abilities to do research. She's very thorough and determined and has a great tenacity of finding the truth and wading through so many documents. I mean, literal government documents and various other things to get to the truth of things, the truth of the matter. And she was interviewing this young fella who started the walkaway movement. And but what started to happen was various factions who don't want this healing, this shift, who don't want the awakening of people, started to post that this was a Russian bot.
Yep.
That he was basically an interfering, wanting to disrupt and corrupt the Dems and move the Dems out, and I mean all this stupid story. And if you believe that, I feel sorry for you, because you aren't doing your research. You know, hey, so Patty, where is she? She's trying to get on. Hey, Patty.
I'm gonna see if I can get her back in there.
Yeah, she's saying hello. Yeah, hang on, sis. Shazoo's to the rescue.
I love that picture she's got. makes me smile in my heart every time.
Here she be.
Hi, lady. Can you hear us yet?
Not yet.
Your microphone muted. All right. Well,
maybe. So I'm just saying that when we look, I think it's about learning to use your truth meter and the gift the Creator gave every one of us. It's called discernment. And it is, discernment is arrived and achieved through our sensory inner knowing ability, not intellectualizing. It's a connectedness to the heart spirit. Discernment. So what feels appropriate, or what feels light, what feels dark, what feels heavy, what feels lighter or uplifting? You have the discernment tool within you, but people are just up in their monkey minds, or they're intellectualizing things, and they're being led down the drain with all of this manipulation. And we have been so deliberately disconnected from our own inner wisdom, our own truth meter, and our own discernment tool. That's how I look at this.
Yep. And that's, you know, when people, when they feed that negativity, that is, especially just by putting that doggone picture out there, that rude stuff, you know, they feeding into that doggone same darkness that they claim that they don't like, you know?
Oh my, you got it right there. You said a piece of wisdom right there. It, when people, look, so I'm sitting outside, and I've talked about the way we are connected energetically. What we think about, what we spew out of our mouth or our emotions affect the whole. And that's a given. We are energetically connected. Frequency-wise, if your frequency is high and you are saying kind things or have love and your frequency is loving and compassion and kindness and peace, that's what you are manifesting and creating and sharing into the world like the pebble in the pond. If you are in the opposing frequency, the energies of hate, vitriol, and negativities and violence and judgments and jealousies, that's what you're creating. You are adding to the dark who loves that stuff, who feeds on that stuff. We are basically a buffet for the dark, yeah. You know, depending on where your level of frequency is. So I'm sitting out there and I sneeze and the tree branch falls out of the tree, you know, and I'm saying, wow, I have such power. I was kind of joking about it. But then it got me into thinking about, yes, we do have a power to affect everything. And if we spew out hatred and vitriol, what are we affecting? Are the trees drooping? Is the drought present? Is the earth opening up a crevice, a crack, and swallowing houses and cars and people? I'm just saying, it's because if you're negative, if you are in the dark frame of frequency, you are undoubtedly manifesting, creating, and affecting the whole. That's just the way Creator's Law is. I mean, you could say, well, the scientists have discovered this, but we've already known this. But I think we need to take responsibility. If you hate a person, okay, what does that bring back to you? Because what goes around comes around.
Yep.
If you are frustrated and opposed to a person's policies or behaviors, that's cool. You know, that's okay. That's on a different level of frequency. But if you are spewing out vitriol and hate and a degree of I can't even describe it.
I'd like to take it a little bit further than that, because I believe that every single life on this planet matters. I believe, you know,
that's
people
correct.
Always say that Black Lives Matter and all that kind of stuff, and I find that kind of, you know.
Well, you know, that's a separation right there. There we are in the separation. Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
Well, Blue Lives Matter. Well, so there's the separation. Right across the board, it continues to keep us separated.
Yeah, and so with that said, you know, there's a reason why people want to get out of this world, you know, and it's sad because when people, since we are social beings, when people get to be feel all down and everything seems to be so overwhelming that they get to the point where they're so down that they decide that it'd be better for them to jump off a bridge or harm themselves or whatever, we lose a piece of humanity every single time that happens. And it's the power of people, what people say and do, that makes the difference in that person's life. You know, some people might just be a case of, you know, they feel like nobody cares, you know, nobody loves them or whatever, you know. And you can make a difference in somebody's life just by simply letting them know that they're important too, you know, having a conversation with them or, you know.
So I have to say something here, because I'm a little, again, so what am I speaking about? I'm speaking about people who have hatred.
Yeah.
That's one thing. I will not allow that energy in my experience as a spiritual person.
Yep.
Now, I am not saying, well, let me put it this way. There are things about our president's policies that really concern me, and I need to speak about those logically, clearly, okay? I need people to hear that there are things that we should all be concerned about, not only of this president's policies, but of past presidents' policies, okay? I want to say that I feel that we are in deep trouble. I do not have hate in my heart for anyone. I look at both sides. I want to clarify that there are two sides, both sides, okay? But I will express my dismay. I will express my frustration, I will express, you know, my disagreement, I will express my perspective, but I will not step into that ring of energy, of hate, and vitriol, and disgusting attitude toward another human being. I don't care who they are. Yeah. I don't. And if I am a spiritual person, and if you out there claim to be a spiritual person wanting peace and understanding, you say you understand that we are all related, that we are all connected, then Metakuyeo Yasin, how can you separate a human being from that frequency of Metakuyeo Yasin because you hate them?
Yep.
There's no room for hate. I'm sorry. If you are a spiritual person, guess what? You should be praying hard for our president and all the other people who are in control of our lives, for them to be touched by Creator Great Spirit and be awakened to come into harmony and balance with the understanding and knowledge that we are all one people, Metakuyeo Yasin, and that what comes first, basically, is the next seven generations coming behind us of the children, our grandchildren, and the concern that is needed about that, and the caring, and the quality of life. That's where we should be praying, that this man or these men or whomever they are, women and men, that have taken the positions that, you know, basically give them control and power over our lives, the Creator touches them. The Creator awakens them to do good work for the good of the whole. Not to stand there and spew out hatred and disgust and post pictures that are just, you know, turn you whatever. I mean, I can't even describe. What are these people trying to achieve? If you have opposing ideas about a political person, which is what we do, you know, and you're a spiritual person, you have a responsibility. Okay, your average Joe, who may not be a spiritual person, who could care less about that, they're going to go down that pathway. I pray for them too. I do. I'm sick and tired of what's going on here. So if you have no words to speak, then don't. If you have words to speak, let them be good. Let them be kind. Let them say who you are. Show who you are. I'm just saying. I'm tired of people, this woman standing out there in the sacred circle with a sacred fire, putting down tobacco and saying, I'm praying for help to stop my hatred and disgust and whatever about this man. And there she goes. Guess what? Yep. She's choosing through her free will to continue to spiral down into that level of frequency and hatred that is affecting the whole. That's how I look at it. It's really amazing to me.
There was a picture of a monkey that I've been trying to find for a long time. It was this little baby orangutan, but the look on his face was, I used it in a video a long time ago, but the look on his face is like basically of shock that, what's the word I'm looking for? Dismay or something like that for what all was going on around. And I don't know, the pictures speak a lot of volumes when you look at some of these.
Yeah, they sure do, these animals, right? But I also have some more to say. Look, we are all teachers. Every one of us is a teacher to someone. Our own children and those around us. And if we are on media, we have to take responsibility for what we are saying, how we are speaking. Basically, what seeds are you planting? You know, what energy and frequency are you putting out there? If you have to have responsibility, even if you are not on media, for what you are teaching. We are all teachers for each other. So do you want to teach goodness and compassion, you know, and community and togetherness and unity? That's in your hands. Creator is asking us to do that. We are put in positions where we are basically what we say. Affects people. Affects all people and the web, the sacred web and the sacred hoop and the tree of life.
Yep. I found a picture, but it's not the exact same one, but I'm going to go ahead and paste a copy of the link there. But the reason why I was saying that was because pictures are powerful. And when you put, you know, rude and nasty pictures like that out to people, it's it does a whole lot more damage than you could possibly imagine. I mean,
well, you know, I feel the energies, I feel the frequencies. We all do. Either you're conscious of that or you're not.
Well, imagine but what comes if his son was the one that seen that picture, you know?
Yeah.
Well,
you're talking a level not only of sexual deviance that they're spewing out, but violence upon a human being. Violence. And people think that's funny? I don't get it. Yeah. I don't find it amusing, and I am going to speak about that and say I do not find it amusing to be pushing violence upon another human being and people think that's funny? Or the sexual deviance between two men that they're putting out on mainstream media? That is not amusing. That is disgusting to me, and I don't understand these people. I don't understand these people who say they're spiritual people and they want peace and harmony. I don't get it. You see how riled I am? I'm just, it's beyond our imagining where we have gotten, and that is prophecy right there in your face. If you are feeding this evil and this dark and this hatred, then you are following the prophecy that is the darkest, most evil that you could ever imagine. This is in our hands. This is what we are doing.
Yeah. Well, man, that's the whole entire deal. You know what Paul Harvey said back in 1965? Look, if you're one of the people that wants to make this world a better place and you're out there protesting against the guy and you're doing stuff like that because you don't like his policies or whatever, if you can't understand it, you're actually feeding the same darkness that you're trying to get fight against, or even the groups like Antifa that go out there, especially anti-fascist, but their techniques is they're using fascist techniques in order to, you know, beat people up because they don't like their political side or whatever. How are you going to fix the world doing that? And what if you do get what you want? What if you do...
That's exactly right. I feel something right now just came in, and what just came in is the light is so much more powerful than the dark. And if you are not on that pathway of the light, you're on the other pathway of the dark, and it's not going to make things really good for you.
That's right.
I'm just saying.
That's what one of the things that I was trying to explain. You know, they're fighting against, a big, giant, powerful government, but yet they're out there protesting and basically, you know, forcing the government to put more laws down on there. You're helping to oppress yourself. Your words.
Well, when
your actions,
when you say you're not happy or you're disgusted with a man in this situation, the president, who's supposedly spewing out prejudices and hate upon others, and you turn around and you are spewing out prejudice and hate yourself, what are you gaining? What is this saying? You're lost.
That's right.
Those people are being manipulated easily.
They say
very easily.
If you fight fire with fire, that's what it takes. Well, if you fight fire with fire, you burn down the forest quicker. So there you go. Everybody loses.
Well, if you're not happy, find the solution. The solution is not division. The solution is not hate. The solution is not vitriol. The solution is not this sludge that people are spewing out. That's not a solution. That's just adding to the fire. Fuel for the fire. Fuel for the dark. Feeding the dark. Feeding the negative. Feeding the harm. That's what you're creating. You think you're doing good, you're not doing good. If you think that this is going to solve a solution, this is not... How could that possibly... It's a soapbox for people. I see tons of soapboxes out there that people have stepped up on to spew out this vitriol and hatred and wave their arms and screaming and spitting on people, some other person or two people or whomever. This is people's soapbox. The venues have given them the soapbox for their own inner confusion and their own issues. their own personal issues. They found a soapbox now to blame someone else.
Yeah, there was a situation where they were running around hollering no justice and no peace, and in the process of hollering no justice and no peace, they went and burnt down their own communities. They basically looted and pillaged their own towns, yep, and their own businesses in their towns. And then when everything finally calms down, like, you know, I've seen this firsthand. Years ago, there were some riots that went down in Kansas City, Missouri, and they tore that town up like you wouldn't believe. And, you know, when it was all said and done, some of those businesses never came back.
Your little community, your little people who, right?
They never came back.
You do harm. You do harm more than you could imagine, you know?
And then they were wondering why it was that they were having troubles finding jobs, finding employment, you know, and everything just kind of went downhill. And you've seen the outlying buildings and houses, homes that people lived in, you know, going downhill, just deteriorating, and the neighborhoods got really bad. And if you were a business owner and your own community burnt you out the first time, you'd be a whole lot less likely to come back. You'll collect your insurance and go somewhere to a safer neighborhood and rebuild there. But this is the hypocrisy of the whole thing. You know, no justice, no peace. Burn your whole doggone neighborhood down, and then life is miserable for your community. That didn't solve anything. Going out there beating up other people.
No, this level of stuff does not solve anything. It just adds to the negativity. And so people who say, people who pray, they must believe in a God.
Yeah.
So then if they're going outside, or they're on Facebook, or they're on a radio, or they're in whatever they're in and communicating with people with opposing negativities and hate and spewing out stuff they don't even have a clue about, but just because somebody told them this without even investigating or doing research or finding the truth, you know, finding out, if they choose to express this level of hatred and vitriol and lies, where is their God? Where is the Creator? Where is the Great Spirit equation come in here? I'm just questioning. How can you say, you know, you believe in a Creator, a Great Spirit, and yet you act like that doesn't even exist?
Well,
there's a missing piece here. I just don't get this about people. It's so easy to say, oh, I pray every day and I believe in Creator, Great Spirit, and I believe, you know, the light is more powerful, you know, and so on. But yet your behavior shows something different.
Yep.
You know, it's like I know in my personal experiences, as you, we've talked about miracles. We can not only experience miracles, but we can create miracles by the way we live our lives, by
yep.
what comes out of our mouth. Okay.
That's right. That's why I kept telling everybody that, you know, just with the power of the spoken word, the way that you say things, the words that come out of your mouth, they can make or break somebody's day. And if that isn't powerful, I don't know what is. I mean, I've heard some really inspiring speeches come from some really famous named people, and I've heard some really inspiring speeches come from just the average Joe, and even from the mouths of children. Some children that have looked out,
yes,
and seen things, and they will say the most profound things.
Well, the children still hold the wisdom within them.
Yep.
You know, I just want to say that for people who believe in a Creator or a Great Spirit or Wakantanka or Tukashla, whatever word you use, if people believe in that, okay, and you believe in the power of prayer, you say you believe in the power of prayer, use prayer then. If
yeah.
you're not happy with what's going on in the world, use the power of prayer.
Yeah.
If you say you believe in the power of prayer and you are a spiritual person, use the power of prayer. Instead, people are choosing to use hateful words and pass on lies instead of using what they believe in, the power of prayer.
Well,
the solution is, if you believe in the power of prayer and miracles, that is the solution. It's not the solution to continue down the pathway into the darkness, the hate and the vitriol and the violence and the negativities. That's not the solution. It's not going to be your solution.
And don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to walk away from stuff. See, I'm raised in a family that's kind of diverse as far as, you know, kindness and attitude and, you know, things like that. I got family members that have been to jail. Some are still in jail. I've got family members in high places and low places or whatever, but I don't discount any one of them. I don't not associate with any one of them, but if their actions at any given time while I'm around, like for example, there was an incident or two where, you know, I'd be around and they'd start telling racist jokes or something like that. You know, blatantly, obviously racist jokes. It's not just because I perceived the words that they was coming out of their mouth to be racist. It was flat out. That's what it was. Well, I let them know, you know, hey, I'm not going to be a part of this. Y'all have a good one. And, you know, I went on about my way. But the thing is that I didn't stand there and what's that word for if you know somebody's an alcoholic and you just keep giving them alcohol?
Enabler.
Yeah, I wasn't going to enable them to feed that darkness and drag me down into that abyss with them. I wasn't going to do it. You know, I just told them, like, I don't appreciate this. So, you know, I'm out of here. So I take off. And you know, maybe they stood there and kept on telling the jokes to each other, or maybe they actually stopped after I left. I don't know.
Yeah, you can walk away. You don't have to stand there with that energy, because that is a very dark energy. You don't have to stand there and subject your spirit to that.
Nope. And if I find something on Facebook that somebody posts or comes across my feed, Facebook has a nifty little feature where you can just delete it off of your deal so you don't have to promote it or anything. So if you ever find anything on Facebook that's on my channel that I didn't know about, because I don't really get on there very much, I basically use Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that to let people know we're doing a radio show or share a good video with them or something like that. All positive stuff, and I don't put negative stuff up there. I don't sit there and, you know, curse my family like I've seen some people do. They'll put their whole entire dirty laundry out there on Facebook for the whole world to see and wonder why their life is so negative, you know? And I don't entertain that.
Well, I know that as you and I have spoken about earlier about the miracles that we have experienced, but also that we have abdicated as well, the power that we have. There are studies done about the power of prayer. I mean, there are studies that have been done about people coming together for 4 years to sit together in different cities in the world simultaneously, the same time, and focus on peace and focus on love and focus on compassion and harmony. There have been studies done to prove that this is effective. I mean, scientific studies. And so what we have to realize, the effects that we are having upon our personal experience, but collective experiences as well. In other words, so the people are sitting there, together for 4 years, one night a week, same time, wherever, whatever country they are in, they simultaneously connect on that time. They sit in a circle and they start to just focus in their hearts with love and then peace and then compassion and harmony and balance. That's all. And over a period of 4 years, information was taken, statistics were taken in these different cities where these people were. And they found out that during the period when they were doing this directed focusing on peace and harmony and love, that in those cities, crime dropped a great percentage. Emergencies and accidents and violence and murders and rapes and all that stuff, the statistics dropped, you know, and then the Dow went up, which tells me that people have hope. When the Dow goes up, people are out there with hope and positiveness, and they're ready to move forward and bring whatever abundance it is in their minds. It's the financial abundance. But I'm just saying, the most significant thing to me was the drop in percentages of rape over 4 years. Every night that these people sat together, emergencies as far as accidents or people's, you know, needing help, or murders, rape, violence, thievery or mob events, all dropped statistically. You see, this is something we have to know, the power that we have. You know?
Yep.
Hey. The power that the Creator gave us, free will to choose either to be aligned with the dark, which is hate, judgment, jealousy, vitriol, or whatever you want to call it, or the light, which is love and compassion and peaceful, that starts within our own self. We are the ones, either we're going to be manifesting this in the new time, the new world, or not, because we are heading for a new timeline, folks. We are in that right now. Prophecy is unfolding, and it is in our hands. If you are sitting there and you're saying, well, it's all hopeless, we're going down the tubes, this is the end, we're all doomed, that's what you're going to create. That's, you're feeding that energy, you're feeding that frequency, right?
Yeah. I hadn't heard...
I'm just saying.
I hadn't heard Patty in there, so I don't know if her microphone was working. Do I need to reset the call? Or?
I haven't heard anything. Do you want to reset?
I'm here.
Oh there she is. Yay.
Yoo-hoo.
All right.
I was just listening.
I just wanted to make sure you had your opportunity to speak. Anyway,
I'm so glad you're here.
Well, you know, here's the whole deal that we're facing today, is this uptick in both the spiritual aspect and the uptick in the anti-spiritual aspect. And both of them are ramping up. And what we've got to do is make sure, you know, I think I talked about it a little bit on Two Dog Show, and The thing that is most important is before we speak, before our thoughts make it to our tongue, do they come from the heart? Do they benefit? If our words are going to make things clearer, if our words are going to bring people together, if our words are going to heal the wounds that we've all suffered, then we should speak. If, however, our words will cause more dissension, if our words will cause more harm, and it's not that you cannot always keep from being taken the wrong way. You cannot always speak and have someone appreciate what you say, depending on where they're at in this spectrum of light and dark. Some people are in the gray area. And so you can't always, choose to be, and give that positive message and have that positive message taken by those who are listening to you. But it's still onus on you to make sure that the message that you do put out is beneficial to bringing people together,
yep,
to strengthening people and to empowering people. And it just takes a little bit of, you know, we all, like I said, we all have biases Our lives are filled with biases, and they belong to us. They are our personal biases, and we can't deny that we have them. It comes from living this life. But do those personal biases have a place in the unity of each other? No, they don't. The only thing that we should concentrate on, the only thing is the purpose that we want in our lives. And if that purpose is to bring people together, then we should be conscious that the words that we speak do just that, that they don't divide, that they do, that they are inclusive, that they bring people together and bridge that gap between the angst and the love. It's a very hard walk to walk. And especially right now, where we find ourselves in society, being so fractured, being so adamant on each side. But we have to realize that these are the times we're in, and the times will not change.
That's why,
unless we change.
That's why I'm trying to point out, you know, when I started this show off by talking about feeding the goldfish, that's why I'm trying to point out that there's simple but powerful tools that can start your day off with peace like it does for me. You know, I got a lot going on in my mind. I've had a battle raging on in my mind and my heart and spirit for so long, and until, you know, I was able to, you know, find some sort of way to start my day off in peace, I was not there in the happy world, if you understand what I'm saying. But something as simple as going out in every morning and feeding my goldfish, and just I squat down there by the pond, and I'll sit there and watch as they swim around and eating the food and stuff like that, and I can see all the birds flying around, and it just gives me some serenity, you know, and a peaceful point to start my day off. It's, I don't know if either one of you have ever experienced it, but if you ever wake up in the morning and somebody in your family is like really in a bad mood, and they start you off at a negative deal, that follows you through the whole doggone day, unless somehow or another you could find some sort of method to shake it off. My way of shaking it off is I'll go back down there to the fish food with some fish food in my hand, feed the goldfish again, and it works for me. You know, maybe it won't work for you. Maybe you'll have to get you some ducks or some chickens or something that speaks to your spirit or whatever. But there's a whole lot more to this world than meets the eye, and the power that nature has, and unconditional love from something as simple as a puppy or a kitten. That's why they have those dogs for people that have PTSD, you know, that they've been through some sort of traumatic event and they're really on edge all the time, because that animal, it has something spiritual about it. That animal has something powerful about it that is able to calm them and know when they're starting to feel agitated and basically come over there and cuddle up to that person. It just watch them sometimes. It's amazing how fast that a person will go from seriously agitated to calmness when these animals do what they do best. What do you guys think?
I agree. I think Barb is stepping away for a second. She's not back.
I'm back.
Oh, she is back. Okay, there she is.
I'm back. I'm just looking for... I was just investigating the... I wish I could find that study that was done about the... people prayer focusing and the impact that it had in different parts of the world, because these people were set up in different parts of the world and in their own city. I was just... You know, the power of prayer, and I know that people certainly more recently probably I'm going to say just incrementally, I see that we have been incrementally shifted away from our connectedness to spirit and that power of the light and that inner knowing and the wisdom and our fundamental nature of our relationship, not only to Creator, Great Spirit, our source, but to the earth as well. And I'm just, you know, looking at this as a deliberate, a deliberation to create this madness and this intensity of separation that we are all struggling with, and how crucial and vital it is, you know, for people to, I guess, find the source within them again, right? And to also know the power that they have. I think that's been, you know, deliberately usurped from us.
I think you're right, sis. I think that's where the root of the problem is that people have forgotten, and some people have never remembered yet who and where they come from and what power they hold, how powerful they are, how powerful their actions are. You know, we're in a world where, like I said, we've got light, dark, and then we've got the gray area. And everything we do, sometimes we don't see the results that will filter out from our words or our actions, because we speak our minds and we do our acts and then we walk away. We're not following that vibration to see where it went. We're not following that frequency to see exactly what transpired. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. You know, there are people out there who have no beliefs in a higher power, no beliefs in a God or anything, but they have figured out, quite literally, that they can use words powerfully enough to get reactions out of people, and they can cause a lot of harm with it, you know, start a lot of fights. You even hear this, unfortunately, in some of the the debates between atheists and Christians. That Christians can basically speak with a sword instead of kindness as well, and they don't realize that even that while they're trying to defend their faith, they're doing more damage to their faith than they are. You know, it's like I told my friend one time. He was down there on the corner down in the downtown. He was down there and he was preaching to people, and he was holding up his Bible and he was telling them that if they don't listen, they're going to burn and go to hell and all that. And people wanted to beat him up. And he came to me and he says, "I don't understand why people always want to be beating me up and everything." And I said, "Jim, you know, it's probably not the message that you're giving it. It's probably the way that you're trying to deliver your message. You can't just go out there and yell at people and expect them to respond to you in kindness, you know? And you don't even have to teach them. All you got to do is be yourself and let them see how a real Christian would act. You know, not one that just takes the name and runs with it. Says, you know, I'm a nice person, I'm a Christian, you can trust me. I'm talking about the one who, like that phrase, talks the talk and walks the walk, you know, and basically lives the lifestyle as, you know, to the teachings of what Christ said to do. And so if you're doing that on a regular basis, even if you fall on your face once in a while and you do something bad, you know, or whatever, nonetheless, you get yourself back, dust yourself off, and you actually...
Yeah.
Try to make an honest attempt to live that lifestyle and be a light to everybody else. You don't even have to open your mouth to teach somebody something about yourself.
I want to point out here one thing. Okay, so this is not about a religion. This is not about, per se, Christianity or any other religion. This is about humanity. Okay, because we have, long before Jesus came as a messenger, we had the peacemaker who walked the Turtle Island. Okay, the peacemaker came and brought the same message that we are speaking about here. Love and compassion, brotherhood, sisterhood, togetherness, unity, peace. Okay, that's the message that the peacemaker brought long before Yeshua appeared in that part of the world. Then we had, prior to the peacemaker, we had Viracocha, who came, same thing, came to the Peru, came down in a light over Lake Titicaca, and his words were the same, and he appeared as the same. He came and brought the people peace. He brought the people the way to live in harmony and balance. He taught them many, many things. And then we had the feathered serpent, Khan Kulkan. And so then we had Yeshua. Then we had Buddha. And then we had the white buffalo calf woman. Okay, all came from Great Spirit Creator, the Source. It doesn't matter what you what you call that source. It is a source of love and compassion, tenderness, and peace. Okay, so it does not matter what, I'm not going to say it's Christian way. It's not a Christian way. Okay, it's a humanity way. It's a humanness way. It's a sacred way. This is what we're talking about. These messages were all the same that came from all these beings that were sent down by the Source onto the land, given it to the people at various times in millennia, centuries and centuries, the same message. I'm just saying. Well, so, to me, it's not necessarily the good book or Christianity. It's like, for me, I am not allowing myself to be organized.
Well, I don't either.
In my spiritual connectedness.
I don't either, but I subscribe to that phrase that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that's,
The peacemaker brought that word.
Yep.
White buffalo calf woman brought that word. Beskawian brought those words. The feathered serpent and Viracocha all brought the same word you just spoke about. And yep. I'm not arguing with you. Those words are true.
Well,
it came
from many sources, right? I'm not even remotely offended, because I couldn't agree with you more. Wholeheartedly, I just, if you're out there and you're practicing peace and you're actually living it, and that's the message that I follow, and that's, you know, the message of love that I don't think a lot of people got, or the ones that did get it may have actually forgot the whole message.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, titles and labels, they don't belong to the people. They don't belong to the family. They don't belong to the one tribe. Labels and titles were created to be the stumbling block, and every time we use them, we strengthen that stumbling block. And if we can get away from that, if we can get away from the color code that's been given us, if we can get away from the religious dogma code that has been given us, if we can just stick to you are my brother, you are my sister. And it does not matter how you express your faith. It does not matter how you express your spirituality. The fact that you do is what is important. And that's the hardest thing for us to do, because we like to define things. We like to categorize things, because we think that if we can put them in these nice little columns, and if we can look at them and say, well, this fits here and that fits there, that it makes our world a little more lucid. But that's the illusion, because we don't fit in any of those categories. We don't fit. You can call someone a Christian, but like Barb said, they're no different from the spiritualists, the spiritual people that lived before Christianity or that lived during Christianity of other faiths. We all bear that same desire for love of life and of each other. So, you know, the fact that we feel compelled to place these labels and titles on ourselves is what it keeps us from realizing just how connected that we are. And I just wanted to add also, before I get quiet again, is that, you know, listening to Barb is like listening to a spiritual encyclopedia. Have you ever noticed that?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I like humanity, you know. I like the fact that I've seen people of all faiths do amazing things for one another. I've seen people rush into danger to help people out. I've seen people rush into people of other colors' neighborhoods and give them food and clothing and shelter. And I've seen the good side of humanity just as well as all of us have seen the dark side of humanity. All of us have the capabilities to either be really good or really rotten. But it's that light side that I'm attracted to. I want to be anywhere with any faith, any peoples that want to do good for this world. Because when I look out at this world, and I've said this so many times, I see a most glorious gift. However we got this gift, it to me is beyond all explanation. There's no human words to explain how fortunate we are to have been given what we've been given, which is this earth, this beautiful earth that it takes care of us, and if we take care of it, we're always rewarded. You know, some people think that there's too many people living on the world. We got to get rid of some people. That's not the case. If nature decides that this place is too crowded, nature will sort things out. Nature always finds its own balance, and there's more than enough food, there's more than enough water, more than enough resources to provide for every man, woman, and child and animal on this planet, and then some. It's just that we got to come to some sort of understanding of that if we can't work in harmony with this, we will see sickness. We will see our streams polluted. We'll see our air corroded, and we'll see things, you know, wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. Don't matter where those words came from, that's our reality. When we mistreat nature, nature will bite back. When we mistreat each other, we bite back. Same thing with animals. You know, animals can be your best friend or your worst enemy depending on how you want to, treat them. If you back a helpless animal into a corner and get bit, then you shouldn't be asking why that happened, because you made a conscious decision to try to, bring fear and harm to another living creature. And that's why things went the way they did. And for people to be out there fighting over resources or even fighting over ideology or beliefs or, anything for that matter, it tears at my heart, because I understand that if there was some sort of miracle that could occur that could bring us all under the same mindset that every time we work together, things work out for the better, and every time we fight, things will always get worse, and it's like a domino effect that you start those dominoes to tip, and then they're all going to fall. And that's each and every one of you out there. You pull somebody off a bridge, you just save the soul of humanity, as far as I'm concerned, because that piece of the puzzle is very important. Every single living creature and person on this planet is very important, as far as I'm concerned. And if the world could just figure that out, if they could just understand it, you're not going to get there. Peace has never came from the end of a barrel of a gun. It's never came from the end of a sword. And there's even a phrase out there that says, if you live by the sword, you should surely die by the sword. You know, if you just took the golden rules of life, it didn't matter where your spiritual beliefs or lack thereof lied, and you could just understand that, thou shalt not steal. There's a good reason to say that, You don't want nobody stealing from you. Makes you angry, You worked hard for the things you got. Thou shalt not kill. Nobody in this world has the right to take your life. Why would you have the right to take somebody else's life? How do you get that mindset into the masses of the people is the hard part. And the only way that I can physically see that one person can make a difference in this world is to stay true to your own beliefs, to stay true to your own true self, and shine your light. Be the best, brightest light that you can be in your life. And if people from the outside looking in see that your life is working out really well for you, they'll open up and they'll ask you, and then you can share your spiritual beliefs with them, and then you can share your ideas and stuff with them. But, if they see something good in your life and they choose to adopt that, and that will make their life better, that's how you make a difference in this world. It's a little phrase like throwing a positive pebble in the pond. And I don't remember whether it was a Chinese or a Japanese philosopher that first initiated the pebble in the pond. I'll have to look that up. Maybe Google knows. But that pebble in the pond When you throw that into the center of that pond, those waves, they go out and they affect every single person in that pond. Every single living creature in that pond, it affects them in some way or another. And that's what you do on a daily basis in your life. When you go out there and you smile at somebody, you throw a pebble in the pond and those ripples go out. And you may have made 100 people that day happy because 100 different people transferred that smile from your face to other faces. And that's why I thought it would be awesome to see if you smiled at somebody, if you could actually follow that smile from your face to theirs, to the next one on down the line. This is how powerful you are as a human being. This is how important you are as a human being. Never discount yourself. And if you're still waiting around for the miracle, I keep telling you, if you want to see the miracle you've been waiting for, it's as simple as walking into your room and finding the nearest mirror and taking a good long look at yourself, the amazing being that you are. There's nobody in this world, I don't care if you're fat or skinny or ugly or whatever the society has told you that you are, you're an amazing creation. And you have power to take your hands and create things, build and draw and cook and all kinds of things. You can open your mouth and you can raise somebody's spirit up to the highest points of heaven, or you can bring it down to the lowest, darkest abyss. Just by the things that you do and you say, then if you realize that true power that is you, you are the miracle you've been looking for. You want to make this world a better place? You raise your hand in kindness and you hand somebody some food and you watch the response that you get. You watch that instant frequency wave or whatever it's called, that energy that comes back to you as that person might have a tear in their eye and a smile on their face and be so thankful that some other being did some act of kindness to make their day just that much better. That's you. That's the miracle. And that's the best I can explain it to you.
Well, I think that I think we are the pebbles in the pond. That's how I look at it.
I believe that.
What?
I believe that.
So I see. I received this information from Spirit a while back because I had to. Told you I had to expose certain things about my own personal life and the miracles, and I had to put myself in the position of being subjected to others' attacks and anger, frustration, whatever you want to call it, because people hear someone speaking about miracles or a phenomenon that is extraordinary in their life, and they can't bridge that big space, that's sort of like they're on a moat. You know, place people on an island with a moat around them where you can't step across and really be in relationship. The thing about being in relationship is that you have to be vulnerable. You have to become vulnerable. And the only way you can become vulnerable is to know yourself, is to really know and to find that peace in your own heart spirit. The only way you find that peace in your own heart spirit is coming to source, is to know, to have that foundation where there is no fear, where there is no doubt. So you step off that island and you come out into relationship with people. When others assault you verbally or attack you, you still have that peace within you. And that's relationship, because I'm going to disappoint somebody someday. I tell this a lot. Don't put me on a pedestal. I'm not putting myself on a pedestal. I'm just sharing with people the phenomenon and the joyous things and the miracles that I have come to know in my 74 years of life. I do not stand on a pedestal, basically, and I don't want to be put on a pedestal because I know someday I'm going to disappoint you, not on purpose. You know, I don't set out to disappoint people, and I don't set out to do harm to people. Sometimes we may have a different perspective, or we just have a different viewpoint, or we have something that we are working with or following or whatever, and a person's going to be shocked or stunned and say, wow, you know, who's that? Who are you? I don't even know you anymore. Whatever it is, or you're going to forget to their birthday. You're going to forget their birthday. I have done that. And so I've disappointed people and unknowingly hurt others. I'm just using the birthday analogy as just an example. But I've had that experience, you know. And here's the point. The moment in time when that person is disappointed or perhaps hurt that you have done something unknowingly, here's the moment in time, depending on where they are in their own heart spirit and their own inner peace and their own power of what they do when you disappoint them. Okay, will they just turn around and walk away, slam the door on you, delete you, never speak to you again? Or will they stand there and say, wait, I have to share something with you. In this moment, I feel really crushed, or in this moment, I feel hurt, or can we talk about what happened? Because I appreciate you. I love you. I appreciate you. I've loved you all these years. I've come to know you. And suddenly, something happened that kind of threw me off track here. So let's talk. That's relationship. Okay, that's a real relationship. Okay, it's very easy. People said, oh, I'm in relationship or I have friends. But the minute they are disappointed from that person, by that person, it's so easy today to delete them, shut the door, slam the door, never speak to them again. That is not relationship. So we separate ourselves very easily, okay, if we don't have that strength, the foundation of a spiritual connectedness, inner peace, and our own knowing of ourself, the spirit within ourself, which is love, by the way, love, unconditional love. You're going to make a mistake. You're going to disappoint me. You might have a different perspective than I might be struggling. But I will not hate you. Okay, what I want to do, what I'd like to do, is to have a conversation about what happened to, so that I can understand better my own self. It's about me, not about you. And we weigh in balance. The way of a relationship is you weigh in balance the significance and the specialness of a person that you have come to know, that Creator brought you together for a reason. So you can either sit there and say, I'm opening my heart to you. I'm willing to communicate with you so that we can come to a better understanding, or I'm just flicking you out of my life. I'm just deleting you out of my life. Okay, this is a trouble. Something happened a long time ago. I think we all know what it is, but somebody got the bright idea that they could separate us from our source, separate us from our Creator, the Great Spirit. All right, Mother, Father. And they do that by telling us how to get to Mother, Father. Okay. They determined that they could control us, basically own us, basically manipulate us by telling us how to get to someone, the source that we have already been connected with in the first place, that we have always been connected with in the first place. But somebody got the bright idea that they could manipulate us and hold us captive, captured. Okay. Basically, and dissuade us and control us and own us from the source that we have originally been born with and will always have. They stand in our way. And I was in that, because I grew up Catholic, with many of the nuns and the priests and the monsignors and the bishops and the popes standing between myself and my Creator. Okay, but my inner knowing self, the wisdom within me, knew something was wrong and began to question, as many of you have expressed your own experiences, and you made those who stand between you and your Creator irate, and you got punished for it. Maybe you got hit with a ruler, or slapped in the face, or told that you were a sinner and that you were going to go to hell. As a child, that's quite terrifying, but still you had something inside of you that was so powerful, so knowing, so filled with this source, this wisdom of who you really truly are. And I have to say, nobody has the right to stand between me and my Creator. No one, no man in a dress, no preacher, no political person, nobody has the right to stand in between any other person and their source, their original connectedness. And that is what's going on today, where people are so far separated and believe that the only way to get to home, their source, is by the words or the actions or the behaviors or the teachings or the whatever it is of those people standing in between them. In our way, in the traditional way, nobody ever told you how to pray. Nobody said when you got into that Anipi, that sacred house, that altar, in that altar, in the womb of the mother, nobody ever said, okay, you're going to pray this way. You're going to do this and that and so on. And then I'll be the one to determine if it's good enough, and then maybe you'll get to Great Spirit Creator. In our way, nobody ever did that. That's why when I went there, finally, when I came to the way of my people, I wept because I found my way back home to the truth, the relationship that we always had, all of us, every one of us had, with our source, with Great Spirit. And the way we find that again is to pray from your own heart spirit, not by the words that some other person has given you, but it's like a relationship. If I want you to come closer to you, I want to have to speak to you from my heart with that love and compassion for you as another fellow person, a human being, a brother, a sister. It's the same way with Great Spirit. It's speaking, talking, having a conversation as that little child from your heart spirit, and being responsible and basically admitting about how weak and pitiful we are. Because that's what it gets down to. I'm a pitiful child here. I'm making mistakes. And I want to clear away these mistakes. I want to be that loving person because I love this creation. I love the mother. I love the creatures. I love everything about your creation, Great Spirit. And I know I have messed up. In my life, I have made mistakes. Some I thought of and actually through my free will I made, and others I was duped into making mistakes. But all of them need to be cleared. All of them need to be spoken here with you, Great Spirit, Mother, Father. I'm speaking to you from my heart as this little pitiful child here on the earth wanting to do better for you because you sent me here, because you are relying upon me to help all others and all that I love, the waters, the water people, the standing ones, the trees, the medicines, everything, Great Spirit. So I'm speaking to you here in a humble way from my heart spirit. Okay, that's prayer, and that is communication from your heart spirit, not the way somebody told you, standing between you and your source and the one who loves you unconditionally. Just saying.
Wow. It's just, I'm sometimes blown away when I just sit back and I just listen. I know that's one of the problems that a lot of people in this world don't have, is that they kind of forgot how to listen to one another. You know, as you're talking, I'm actually seeing you as a person, as a being. Patty read that story the other day, the last Knights of the Round Table that I wrote for about Goliath.
I read the first installment. I'm ready with the second two.
When you read that, it brought tears to my eyes because I actually kind of saw myself while you were writing it. I saw all the trials and tribulations that I went through and the miracle that was that turtle gave to me when I went through that whole deal. But it's, maybe I'll just let you read the next one if you don't mind.
I would love to. You know, I've looked forward to today just so that I could read this because, Shaziz, when, like you said, when I read this, when you posted this, the very first installment, on Facebook, it touched my heart and it brought me to a place that was full of wonder and connection. And even though I grew up with that same connection to nature that you express, My life as a young child was beautiful and wonderful and wondrous. It was an adventure of love. It was an adventure of exploration and of understanding and learning connection. And I am and have always been blessed because of it. And to hear and to read your words brought me right back to that place, which I had put away, you know. And even though I have walked as best I could in a walk of honor to Creator and to all my relations, I miss that connection, and you brought it back. So yeah, I want to read the second installment right now, and for any of you who want to go ahead and read the rest of it, you can go to Shaziz's Facebook page and find this. Do you still have it on your Facebook page?
Yeah.
Pretty sure you do.
Yeah, it's yes, still on there.
Yes, please. And you know what you need to do? And I don't want to tell you, you got to go do this. But if you read this, I think you'll come to the same thing, is that this needs to be shared, because this is the truth of who we are, down deep, you know? So, but anyway, this is the second installment that Shaziz put up, and it's called, this one is My Friend Goliath. Everything in life seemed so big and had become so overwhelming. I retreated into my room at home, turning it into my fortress of solitude and only means of defense against the Goliaths of the world that seemed to me to be chaotic and out of control, out to get me and my family, knocking at both the front door and the back door, wanting to get in to do me harm. Truth be told, I spent so much time in my room that I literally began to die, both inside and out. Travel to me was out of the question, period. Something had to be done, and fast, because it seemed as though I could not breathe. All of the things that have happened and had been seen on my journey through life had quite literally taken its toll. I was, as they say, the dead man walking. My wife, my family, my friends stayed firm by my side and helped me so much through these troubled times. Their love and light lit the path to the door as they helped me to gain the courage to step outside. After looking into the mirror and realizing that I had crashed so incredibly hard and needed to seek some help from somebody outside my circle to get a new perspective on this thing that was bringing me down, the miracle came by the name of Ramona, who was and is a patient advocate for veterans at the VA. She is wonderful, not just a person, but as a listener and a woman of strong faith. Her words and her actions, her heart and her concern gave me inspiration every time we met. I found someone who I could talk to that did not judge, only tried to help me understand what was happening to me and how together we could see this thing through and begin to heal. She told me that I should try to set time limits to staying in my room and venture outside to find anything in life to do. I took her advice. 13 acres of land gave me a safe zone to wander outside. I began to see things that needed to be and things I wanted to be done. Don't get me wrong, I had ups and I had really bad downs to get where it is that I believe I am today. I began working the land and becoming, as they would say, one with nature. Not to mention constant prayers to my God, I decided that my goal would be to try to turn this land into a mini version of the Garden of Eden, as I believed it to be, as if to show the world outside what kind of place our world should be. My journey led me to the shoreline of a lost and forgotten pond. Seriously neglected and out of balance, this pond was covered in green. Little did I know that this pond held a treasure worth so much more than physical gold. I decided that day that this is where I shall start. I will bring this pond back to life. For another time, in another story, this was not the only pond involved at the time, only this was the home of my friend Goliath. Shall I go on?
Yeah.
My friend Goliath. Goliath was watching, but I didn't even know he was there. Stealthily, he would move about the pond. I imagine wondering who or what was this being and what does it want as he peered out of the murky waters to see this old man that was me. I began skimming off the water meal and scum from the pond, thinking about this world and life. It dawned on me that this was the only way to save the world, just one scoop at a time. With every passing hour, the water would clear, then fill back in a layer of green. Day after day, the same old thing. The task became so huge, and it seemed I was not even close to gaining any ground. It was then that I would put my mind to the test. Research on how to get rid of the green. I decided after failed pumps and filters that I would recruit some help. Friends, goldfish, minnows, and many other fish, even some crawdads, would help me clean this pond along with the introduction of natural plants. One day, as I sat on a bucket scooping away at the green, thinking to myself, what a waste of time, it happened. I had been feeding the goldfish floating pellets and had just a little in the cup left by my side. Suddenly, out of nowhere, this massive turtle head emerged from the water. He just sat there, looking at me. After a minute or so, I spoke. I said, well, hello there. How are you today? He did not answer, just kept looking at me. I spoke again. Would you like some food? Still no answer. I reached into the cup and carefully, not to scare him, threw him a handful of food. He paused and then began to eat the food. When he was done, he once again began to look at me. I spoke again. There's not much left in this cup, but I will give it to you and go get some more if you like and wait right here. I gave him the bit of food left and slowly got up so as not to scare him away and said, I'll be right back. When I got out of his sight, I ran to the house and filled the cup with food, thinking to myself, this is crazy. There is no way that turtle will be there when I get back. To my surprise, he was still there. And as I sat down, he kept looking at me as if waiting patiently for me to fulfill the promise to him that I made. I threw him some food and he paused, still looking at me, trying to figure me out. But then he went to eating. Every day, I would go back to that same spot and begin to work. This turtle knew when I was there. He could hear the pond skimmer slapping against the side of the tree with every scoop of the water mill that I cleaned off. And as soon as I saw him, I would pause, cleaning, then share with him some food from the cup in my hand. I talked to him, explaining how I was cleaning this pond for him and hope he could see better through the water, and that I hoped he was enjoying the food. I went on to say, he needed a name. Seeing how you are the biggest turtle I have ever seen, I will call you Goliath, and I will make a promise to you, Goliath. As long as you do not eat my goldfish, I will bring you food twice a day. He seemed to agree. Life got easier for me that day. I felt like I now had a purpose again. Better yet, I received a blessing. My friend, Goliath. And I'll save the next installment till next week.
You know, that agreement seems he kept that agreement because my goldfish lived right alongside all those turtles in there. Just amazing.
Amazing. Such a beautiful story and a beautiful telling. You know, our life lessons, they come up and they slap us in the face sometimes, you know. We get so caught up in the illusion. And we think that we lost it. You know, there's no way to get it back. And then all of a sudden, it's as if nature says, I'm going to give you the memory of your connection so that you can realize who and where you come from once again. And nature is the best teacher.
Yeah, I agree. That was by far the greatest day of my life.
That I love listening to that story. Every time I hear it, I mean, I read the whole story when you passed it to me. It deeply moved me, and every time I hear, like, Patty reading it these last two Sundays, it just takes me deeper and deeper, touches me on that level, and it really, to me, it's like, tells me, Shaziz, how significant you are in that little world by your pond and to all those creatures who live there, how significant you are, and how you've given them something, a connectedness. It's like it's the way that we were originally connected to nature, and what that means for all those beings, how that's mending the hoop. Well, that's feeding the tree of life right there. So thank you.
For everything that I'm willing to give, I've been given so much back. So much more than I can explain, but I'm hoping that story will resonate out there and people will share it with one another, and I'm hoping that these shows that we do will actually give somebody hope and, you know, a chance to experience that for themselves. I just wish that every single living person on this planet could experience one time the stories like you and I and Patty have been talking about for so long, if they just got the chance to witness it once. That's all it took for me. One miracle from a turtle. Who would have thought that the most wisdom that I would ever witness in my life would come from a turtle? But to this very day, I got so much love in my heart for that turtle, it's mind-blowing. You know, and when I walk around out here, I feel so truly blessed. I feel like I'm standing in my little tiny piece of heaven. And I want people out there in the world to understand that little piece of heaven, it can grow. It can grow to your neighbor's yard, and from your neighbor's yard to their neighbor's yard, and all these things that we keep talking about. We don't have to live in a terrible world. We can live in a wonderful world. All we got to do is want it. It's as simple as that. We can lay down our labels that we got on each other, our hatred, our discontent, and recognize that none of us are the same. It's like all those goldfish that I feed every morning. When I go out there and feed those goldfish, there's so many different colored goldfish out there. You know, and it's there's white goldfish, there's black goldfish, there's a combination of gold and black and white and gold, and just beautiful, beautiful fish that just swimming by. And when they're doing what it is that they do, and when I'm doing what it is that I do by feeding them, I give them something and they give me something so amazing in return that allows me to find peace in my heart in a world that has become so chaotic. I believe that if you can just witness the dream once, just one time, is all it's going to take for you to understand that how important that you really are in the grand scheme of things. People want to try to say that everybody is just, you know, there's so many people, we're just insignificant. You're not. You are not by far. You have so much power to interact with this world that we are blessed to be given to be caretakers of. And the things that you can do for yourself and one another, those positive pebbles, the positive pebbles in the pond, they really do make a difference. And you can try it on a small scale. You can go out there and throw a positive pebble in the pond. Try it just to see what I'm saying, and you'll witness it, that it's true. Start your day off, and no matter how bad people act or what negativity you run into, just keep that smile strong on your face, and you watch the reaction of the people around you. Some might just think you're nuts. Some might think you're on drugs because they don't get it yet. But regardless of whether they want to or not, they'll smile. They'll smile back at you, even if it's in laughter. You know, ha ha, you look at that idiot over there. What the heck's he smiling about, you know? But they can't help it. Because that power, that frequency range that you're sending out there, it affects them physically and mentally and emotionally. And next thing you know, they're walking around with a smile on their face. They don't even know why they're happy. They just are. That's how powerful you are as a being. And we can just get that point across to everybody out there. You stop sitting there talking about how, you know, you've been mistreated all your life. Start going out there and treating people just like you want them to treat you, just like the word said. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You know, hold yourself accountable. I always told all my children, I said, you're responsible for your own actions. No matter what somebody else does to you, you're always responsible for your own actions. And you will someday in your life, you'll figure that out. You'll see what I'm talking about. But in the meantime, if you treat people well, you teach people how to treat you. We teach the world how to treat us. And so if you're going out there and you're putting hateful content on your deal, trying to get everybody else on the bandwagon of somebody that you don't like or you disagree with, then you're telling the world that that's okay. And if they ever disagree with you, then they can do the same to you as well. And it's a perpetual darkness that will continue. Just like the positive pebble of light in the pond, the positive or the negative pebble of darkness affects everyone in the pond together. We're all in the same boat. This big, beautiful world that we're on, no matter what shape it is, it matters what shape it's in. It matters what your children and your children's children, you know, I keep saying, I believe in a dream, and I'll probably have to dig that up and play it on the way out of here, the message that a man named Kent read for me. He's got a really good voice, and the way that he read it was pretty good. It was awesome. Just like when Patty reads this deal, she's got a magic about her voice that it actually says it the way that I felt it. And if you can say something the way that you feel it, then you can get your message across in an honest and a respectful and an amazing fashion, and that's where that resonates and will make that message travel so much further. So we're getting down to it, folks, and it's that time again, but wow, what an amazing night to the round table. Had a little bit of laughter and had a little bit of tears, and this time it wasn't tears of sadness. This time it was tears of hope and joy. Because I feel like I got my peace again today coming out here speaking to all of you. Just like feeding those goldfish, I get my peace. And I'm throwing those positive pebbles out in the pond, and that energy's coming back to me. It's coming back to me with two people on the show here, Honorable Knights of the Round Table. It's coming back to me with Steven and Gaz and all the different people over at People for People Radio and Wolf Spirit Radio and all these different networks that pick up our broadcast and rebroadcast. The only thing that I will ever ask of you is to pass the message on, to throw that pebble out as farther. If you pick that pebble up, throw it a little farther so somebody else gets a chance to see it as well. Anything you like in these podcasts, rebroadcast them, send them to a friend, find somebody who's feeling down that needs to hear this message. A lot of words of wisdom coming straight from the heart, nowhere else but the heart, straight out of love. And that, what more powerful weapon can you use against the darkness than to throw a big old pile of love out there right in front of them? It's kind of hard to be mad at somebody when they're telling you that they love you. And we do love each and every one of you that take your time to listen into these radio shows. It's that important. Because this world needs a lot of healing. This wonderful earth that we've been blessed with needs a lot of healing. There's a lot of things that need fixing. And you, personally, are the one to do it. That's how powerful you really are. So stay off the side of those bridges and stop trying to hurt yourself, because your brothers and sisters really need you. You do matter. All lives matter. Ain't no colors, just people. So with that said, which one of you ladies want to go first?
Well, Barb has got to take off, so let her get on here.
Yeah, thank you. Every day, every Sunday, I look forward to coming on here with you, Shazuz, and I appreciate your opening that doorway. And of course, I love it when my sister Patty comes on, and everybody's out there. You know, it's really a beautiful feeling when we see the chat filling up and people come on, and then of course Wolf Spirit Radio, those people over there, and it's just a beautiful thing to be able to communicate and to share, and I hope, I always say, I hope that something that I have shared today has touched someone, and sang to your heart spirit. I just feel grateful, and I have great faith and hope in all of us and the power that we do have. And I know, you know, I get a little, I guess Patty says ranting earlier there, because I love all these people. I love humanity and I love the earth and the mother. And I know that it's so important that we do come together and stop trashing, people, even if we don't agree. We can disagree. But what level do we choose? Like you say, we are the pebbles in the pond, you know. We're the ones who are emanating either positives or negatives, or, you know. But certainly we all have our right to express our opinions. And no one should be attacked for that. And if someone is doing wrong that we see is wrong, and doing harm that we see is harmful or potentially harmful, if you are a person who is connected to the mother and to the source and claim to be, you know, a spiritual person or connected person, use the power of prayer. You know, that is a gift to us, and I believe in the power of prayer. And when we are connected to that source through prayer for the good of the whole, and that's everyone, not just a few, not a select few, it's for the whole, and that means the coming generations. That means those known to us and unknown to us, you know, and those who we may not even like. But when we give a prayer out, we are healing ourselves as well. So I just wanted to say that, and thank you for today. It's beautiful, always beautiful to be here with everyone. Pilamaya Doksha.
Thank you very much. Awesome. I'm going to play a song on the way out here that I keep playing here a lot lately, because it's really got a good message to it. But before that, I got to hear what Patty's got to say. But that seed that we keep talking about planting, that's what this song to me represents. So you'll hear it. So what do you think, Patty?
Well, once again, I have to agree with Barb that, you know, she says, I look forward to these Sundays. Your show, to me, is food for my spirit. I always come away well-fed. And I think that's important to each and every one of us. We all find those dark areas in life where sometimes, instead of just passing through them, we kind of get stuck. And we find ourselves in a position to where we may start to forget how beautiful we are. We concentrate so much on the exterior of our lives sometimes that we get immersed in it, and we start to doubt. But we can't do that because we have to look at life as it being dynamic and ever-changing. It is full of dark and light, and we pass through or we stay depending on our own self-image of who we are. If we can just imagine the light that is within our heart, and when we express through love toward each other, how beautiful that light is, that there is no darkness that can withstand it. And if we are in that shadow, if we are standing there, and we feel that's all there is, we simply, instead of reaching outward, reach inward and find that light that is constantly there within our heart. The love frequency is the most powerful frequency. And we have the ability to either walk in love or to walk in the shadow of love. You know, it's all determined on how we see ourselves, because we are an expression of the world in which we live. And so if we walk in light and if we walk in love, then our world becomes light and love. And the healing does take place. Like your story, Shaziz, it does not take an act of great awakening, a light does not have to come down and blind you and fill you with love. A turtle can do that.
Yep.
A turtle can teach you who and where you come from. We just have to believe in ourselves and believe that we do have the ability to change at any moment. You know, we all get stuck every now and then. It's part of being in this dynamic world. But we can't lose sight of the beauty that is within us, because that's where we come from, you know?
I agree. And I'll
just remembering.
And then say to everyone out there that once you find that light, that's a light that you can actually leave the room and leave on. You can just keep on shining that. Don't ever let that light shut off. So once you do that, you'll find that this world will change. Everyone around you, it's only takes one candle to fight the darkness, and you imagine what would happen if we lit them all at one time. With that said, folks, you've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. I'm going to post this one up on the Auto DJs because this got a really good message today. Go out there and feed the goldfish. Give it a shot and see if it helps you like it did me. Find your turtle and say hi to him. You know, something. And if turtles and goldfish ain't your thing, find a chicken or a duck or a bird or a cat or a dog or some wonderful creature of God's that just will warm your heart. Hey, you'll find something really amazing when you do. So everybody, I'm going to play a song out of here.
Before we do, I just want to remind everybody that next week we're going to read another installment of Goliath. I just want everybody to remember that.
Cool. And thank you so much for reading that. I'll tell you what, every time you do, my heart just swells. My eyes fill up with tears of joy, and I'm remembering the whole thing as if it was yesterday, and it has such overwhelming healing for me. You know, sometimes life has its ups and downs, even after you witness your miracle and you find yourself in this world. This world's a tough one to get through without getting scarred. You know, I think somebody one time said, ain't nobody ever going to go through the gates of heaven without any scars on them, because this world is, it's a pretty hard one. But I think together, we can get through. And we keep on shining our lights, there'll be a whole lot less stubbed toes in this world. It'll be a whole lot less painful. So anyway, wonderful show again, ladies, and thank you very much for joining me. It's always a pleasure. I just like light up with all kinds of joy. As soon as I see your deals come up there on Skype, I'm just so happy to have you here. So with that said, peace and love, everybody. Send a message out and tell people to come over here and join us. There's plenty of room around the round table. We live in the world of cyberspace, and this table, we can stretch it out to infinity and beyond. We can throw so many positive pebbles in there. We can build that island of love you keep thinking about. That really nice, smooth path into the future for our children. So take care.
Some say love, it is a river that drowns the tender reed. Some say love, it is a razor that leaves your soul to bleed. Some say
every nation together to solve the world's problems, one positive pebble at a time. It will be we, the people of the world, that bring about true change, peace, and love to all. Governments never solve any problem, only create them. Wars, starvation, sickness, oppression, financial slavery, death and destruction is what governments do best. When all the military might of nations is used to destroy other nations, the question has to be asked, why not use that military strength for good? Feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, heal the sick, and so forth. True representation of truth, freedom, and justice comes from we the people, and it never came from slick-talking politicians that say whatever they have to get elected, and then regulate away your freedoms. There is no reason to have starving babies in the world of today. Yet, it goes on. There's no reason for wars and sickness, yet it continues. We as the people must stop feeding that beast that is eating humanity alive. We the people of all nations have the power to bring about a literal heaven on earth. You as an individual have more power than you can possibly imagine. You have the power of the spoken word. You have the power of the pen. The power of action, and most of all, the power of love. It is time to use this power to make our world a better place. We are the founding fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers of our children, and of our children's children's future. Into the future and beyond, what we do today will define the world that they live in tomorrow. Let us, from every nation, come together and make that future a great
one. Woman!
Man!
Ma'am, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here! Oh! How'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What? I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings.
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds, distributing swords is no basis for a system of government.
Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot!
We're knights of the round table, we dance whenever we're able. We do routines, we call the scenes, we put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-able. So many times we give and rise that our quiet dancing enable. We're off to mad in Camelot, we sing from the dire Camelot. Indefatigable.
have to push the pram a lot.
On second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam the Turbo! Always looking Shazam the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!